Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Nia Jax to my Shayna Baszler, Mr. Matt Scott. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good, but do I have to start screaming about my hole now? Or, you know, does Reginald show? It's been a great week, Mari. And just excited to be here. Great way to start out.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a week. It's officially been a week since WrestleMania Saturday, WrestleMania Night One, however you want to phrase it. Yeah. How has the week been, Matt? How have you been feeling throughout this week?
Yeah, and I think WrestleMania weekend was definitely a lot, and there was so much going on. I feel like this WrestleMania weekend was more like a week and a half of Mania because there was the Hall of Fame,
yes,
two nights of NXT. There was a lot to digest. And then we had the fallout Raw after Mania, which is historic, and you have to tune in for that. So it's been a lot, but you know, we're here now. We have our post Mania episode officially, and I'm happy to dive in, and we have a really exciting guest today. So let's do this.
Yeah. Like you said, WrestleMania weekend, week and a half, it felt so long for us. And we said this on our previous podcast, it's been such an amazing journey and to get to WrestleMania and then WrestleMania being like our destination here and just it being just so much. Like we took over, we did the IG takeovers.
Yes.
Mania itself, that rain delay, Matt, we barely even got to talk about that. The rain delay.
No, that was wild. That was actually
so
wild.
Crazy. Yeah.
It was yeah. Like,
could you imagine like WrestleMania just stopping like for rain?
I was worried that the show might not start for a lot longer. And then even during the first match, we saw the announced team standing because I'm assuming it was probably still drizzling a little bit.
Right.
We've never seen commentary with umbrellas.
Yes.
Good note.
Exactly. So it was just like, it was such a lot going on. And if you haven't listened to our reactions, our direct, like right after WrestleMania, we did reaction podcast because we wanted that raw feeling of just like spewing into the microphone what we thought. But today we're going to give you our polished, our normal, like very thoughtful going over some of our favorite moments for WrestleMania. No, not polished.
I was like, are we? Yeah, we try. We do our best. People are kind to us. So
yeah,
we're going to definitely dive in and go through a little bit of what we saw this week, but definitely touch on WrestleMania again with like even clearer heads because we didn't have those gut reactions. I will definitely not be fawning over Bianca and Sasha as much as I was on Saturday immediately following the main event, but still my moment, my WrestleMania moment. So I am we're probably gonna talk about them a lot as always.
I was about to say I plan to fawn all over them, so whatever he doesn't do, I'll do extra. And we had the pleasure again of taking over Rahab Graham's Instagram for the weekend. We both did a day. Matt, you did WrestleMania Saturday. I took over WrestleMania Sunday. How was your overall experience taking over that IG?
It was great. And I think the highlight, at least for me personally, was being able to create a rehab slur for a few different people in the RHAP community. Kirsten McInnes became Kirsten and had a cat gimmick. Don't mess with cats and don't mess with Kirsten is her slogan. So we had a lot of different characters. Shannon had one, you know, a lot of fun. And it was just a good time to share what we're doing here on this little podcast with the rest of the RHAP universe.
And I would say I would have stuck with your gimmick. I would have called her Kirsten. I would have called her Kirsten and I would have had her with the cat. However, I would have had it as had her as like a sorceress gimmick, like Kirsten, sorceress, witch with the black cat type deal. Like a little bit of that.
I wasn't going to give it away, you know, for future purposes, potentially, but I'll take that note down just in case. Now we know.
Yes, I took over on Sunday. It was a lot of fun. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to show these people because I was at my husband's like childhood house. We had went back to Jersey for the weekend. And I was like, I'm in a room full of like comic books and Eagles paraphernalia everywhere. People are going to be like, what is going on in her background? But it was so much fun. I did promo class. I wish more people would have asked me to cut a promo on them. I did get to do one. That was really fun. I love a good promo. I hope people learned. I did some promo tips. What did you think, Matt?
I mean, to borrow from Bryce Marr, you were bringing that heat and that smoke, and they didn't know what to expect. So, you know what? You did a great job with that, and I love taking some of those promo tips from you. Hopefully, you could apply them in this podcast a little bit. So, thanks for doing that. It was cool to kind of see like our different styles with how we approach that, and I hope that people are able to tune in for all of that.
Yes, and that was fun. And then also, if you want to see my very, very interesting attempt at transitions, showing off my women's wrestling merch that I had, that was there. I don't know if I accidentally pinned it to it's there for a while, but maybe we can ask our guests. But it was really
technology.
I know. Yeah, I know nothing about it. But yeah, so it was fun. And then, of course, we had to follow up. We had Bryce last week for It's a Look. And oh, my God, that was one of the best shows. Again, we have to say it 8 million times. That was really one of the best shows we've ever done. The video, also just doing like a video podcast for it was amazing. We got a lot of good feedback for that.
How could you not love Bryce? Yeah. And that was just so amazing for him to stop in, for us to go through everyone. His reaction to The Fiend, of all people, was just... We were getting other comments just specifically about that moment, especially. So Bryce was amazing. And then we, of course, if you are a Purple Pants podcast listener, we're on the Purple Pants podcast, the Bermuda Triangle episode, where we delivered the church announcements. So that was a little bit of what happened as follow up to that. But Mari, any other thoughts before we get ready to dive in?
No, it was just a great week. It was just a whirlwind of a week. We had it was just so much fun. Like being that involved in the WrestleMania week was just fun. It really was. Getting to take in all of it and then come and share it with our listeners was really just enhanced the viewing for me, to be quite honest.
Making his way to the podcast, coming to us live from his apartment in Hollywood, California. I mean, we could just say LA, but like really, Hollywood, California. The People's Podcaster, the founder of what we all know as Rehappomania, otherwise known as Rob Has a Podcast, co-founder of Post Show Recaps. He is the one, the only, the Podfather, Rob Sesternino.
Yes.
Woo! Yes.
Yes.
Bell rings.
We finally have a bell.
I know.
Finally.
Wow.
Matt, I would Welcome. Appreciate it if you could work in the bad boy of podcasting also.
I don't want to. That might be part of your Creator Hapsler gimmick. I don't want to spoil any of what Mari and I do. So it's great to have you here. Great to have the bad boy of podcasting with us in this world of bad boys and bad girls.
Yes. Thank you both for having me on. And this is such a pleasure. And, I'm just so impressed with everything that you two have done here with the Wrestling Rehab Up.
Well, like we said, I say it every day. I thank you so much for letting us do this crazy wrestling podcast on your network. We've been so fortunate to have a lot of, have people reach out to us, say that they love hearing from us. And it's through you that we have this platform. So we just want to thank you.
Yeah. And just to think about your mentions, Rob, for our podcast being part of the reality TV Rehab Ups, we thank you for dealing with that, that blowback too. So thanks a lot.
You think I've gotten a lot of negative feedback?
Tons.
No. No, we have not. It's just the amount of work that you two both put into this show really comes through. Also, as a guest now, the amount of homework that you have to do to be on this show is impressive. We're not messing around here.
And the funny thing is, you got it light. Ask Puya. Go and ask Puya how many clips he had to watch because of when he came on, or like a lot of our guests, because we just sent you a few clips just to wrap up WrestleMania real quick. We didn't even go through a full week. Grace with it when we covered AEW as well. Oh my god.
Probably like 40 clips or something like that. Yeah. So
oh my god.
It's amazing. And it's true. Like we love making sure our guests are prepared. So we're glad that you found it kind of easy to navigate that.
Yeah. Well, you two really do like sort of like the inverse of what I do on like the Survivor and Big Brother podcast, where it's like I take 1 hour of television and I turn it into hours and hours and hours. And you two have hours and hours and hours of stuff to turn into a shorter form of
exactly. And this is really therapeutic for us to be able to go through all of it each and every week. So you know what? Well, we could go a lot longer, Rob, if you want us to. This could be the longest podcast on the network if you want it to be today.
Right.
So,
if we wanted to take the belt from Ali and Akiva, we really could.
But. Yeah.
But we're not. We'll come for them later.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be a good tag team battle at some point.
We'll have to have them on for that.
What would that look like? Where it's just like Akiva is just being like pummeled in the ring throughout the entire match. He's just trying like to crawl to Ali to tag him.
I think Ali's going to be the one beating him up. It's going to be down. And then, we're going to have to pull them apart. It's going to be a total mess. I don't know if there's going to be a finish. Probably end in a no contest, but. That's an entertaining tag team, Rob. So we need that in the wrestling world.
Has that ever happened in a tag team match where then it turns into a 3-on-1 where the tag team partner starts beating up their own partner along with the other team?
That sounds like something that could definitely happen in the Attitude Era. Back in the Attitude Era, totally. Everybody was beating people up. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised. Let us know on Twitter.
Your favorite double turn, double cross moment. Right. Tweet us.
Yeah, tweet at us.
Yeah, I feel like these tag teams always break up like not during a match. But it would be interesting if they ever like broke up during the match.
That's so true. Like I'm really thinking. I'm trying to like stretch my mind to think about it, but I am like I'm on wrestling overload at this point. I can only remember what happened 3 days ago, let alone 30 years. But that sounds peak Attitude Era.
On the flip side, Rob, have you ever seen just like a podcast break up in the middle of the podcast? You know, just steel chairs left and right.
I can feel it coming. I've never seen the podcast. Usually if the podcast breaks up on the podcast, that tends to like be an unaired episode.
Good to know.
I was about to say, cue Matt walking out.
Like, maybe we have to do it.
Yeah. Like, maybe there's a live show, but usually it's like after the fact, it's a blow up. And then, we decided we're going to take a quick break from the podcast.
Oh, man. Well, we're here to celebrate all the teams that are together, that we've really been able to enjoy. There are no breakups happening this week in the world of wrestling. And yeah, I think we're about ready to dive into the highlights of the week, the highlights of the podcast.
Yeah. So this week we're going to do something a little bit different. We're just going to go through some of the highlights, talking again more about WrestleMania, most likely the fallout from most of the WrestleMania matches that we had. And then also just kind of maybe highlight some of the storylines that we've been talking about throughout the podcast and how we feel that technically WWE markets the WrestleMania as like the season finale, like another season has started now, you know? So we'll see. We'll talk about what we think. Did we get some final answers on some of these storylines? Does it seem like some of these storylines are going to drag a little bit further? So, like always, all of our highlights will be found in our show notes on our playlist. So if you can always watch and follow along. In the show notes and the highlights. So we're going to get started.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What is in line for one of the matches of the night? I mean, it's in line. That's it. People are really,
whoa,
you know, not for me. We already know what the match of the night for me was, but a lot of people were talking about it. On Saturday night, on WrestleMania night one, we had Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and John Morrison. And the match was a banger. We talked about it just that night, how impressed we were. Matt, a week later, how you feel about the match?
Ooh, so this match was just a lot of fun. And I think anything with WrestleMania where you're going in and really not sure what to expect, not sure what WWE is going to give us, really not sure how performers will do, is great. And Bad Bunny not only showed up to perform at WrestleMania, but he worked like 75% of the match. He was all over the place. He was giving it his all. And it's so clear, not to bring Logan Paul into this, but to contrast him with Logan Paul, not to get any smoke over there with Logan Paul. But, you know, it was great to see that Bad Bunny is truly a wrestling fan and leaning into it. And I hope we see him again. I don't know where he was this week on Monday, maybe icing himself a little bit. But that was an awesome match. Like, what was a highlight of that one for you, Mari?
So, I mean, it was a great match. And so it goes into our first highlight. The Miz and John Morrison were on Miz TV with Maurice. I was kind of confused why Maurice was there. I guess they're just plugging Miz and Mrs.
I think.
Yeah, Miz and Mrs. And basically, The Miz took credit for how good the match was.
Yeah.
Rob, what did you think about this clip overall?
Yeah, so first of all, I thought that The Miz and then, of course, the mayor of Slamtown, who we're super familiar with, I think that they're, you know, very fun. And I like this segment. And, you know, I wondered, have you, either of you watched the show, Miz and Mrs.? Is that something that's interesting?
So I watched like the first season, like, cause it would come right on after Raw. And sometimes I'd just leave my TV on and I'd watch a little bit of it.
Yeah.
They're on season like 4 or something now, I think. And
what do they do? What are they doing that?
It's really entertaining. They just get into shenanigans, to be quite honest. And the first,
that's what I was going to say. It's just shenanigans.
It's just shenanigans. The first season, it was just them. It was just Miz and Maryse. But since it's been like they've had 2 kids since, and then they were moving, and then Maryse's parents would be on sometimes, and you know how like old people are funny. So like, it's a pretty funny show. It's just your typical reality TV show where they follow a couple. It's kind of like Creasley Knows Best, in a sense. Like, they just follow them as they do wacky shenanigans. So it's pretty cool. It's
not that bad. They just like run errands and stuff.
Yeah, like, and then I know one season, you know, Miz, they planned their gender reveal parties, and they show you behind the scenes of doing that. When they had moved from like Hollywood to like,
Texas,
yes. And then they were there for like not even a few months and then moved right back. So it's literally shenanigans.
Yeah.
That's all it is. But it's so funny sometimes.
Yeah. So yeah, they were taking a lot of the credit for the success of the match with the Bad Bunny. And then Damian Priest was like very offended about that. Can I ask about Damian Priest and his gimmick? Is he actually a priest? Why is it, or is it like his name is just Priest?
You know, I have many questions about his gimmick, Rob. He is not actually a priest. His name is Priest, but I don't really understand him. He's very flashy. He comes out in very flashy garb, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, in his bright purple, his purple pants. And you know what? I don't really know what's going on with Damian Priest right now. It's like rock star, archer. He likes archery a lot. Mm-hmm. Other things.
He goes by the Archer of Infamy. And
yes.
He was just like in NXT, he was kind of just like a cool, like badass kind of, you know, and his Raw debut, it's basically kind of been the same. It's like he's Puerto Rican, from what I understand, and him and Bad Bunny speak Spanish together. But he's just cool. He's honestly just cool. That's what it is. They don't put a lot of thought into some of these characters anymore, Rob, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So that's just it.
I thought it was wild that, you know, he just got done with at WrestleMania that he and Bad Bunny fought The Miz and John Morrison. And then on Monday, he agreed to fight them by himself without even Bad Bunny. I mean, it almost, makes Bad Bunny feel like insignificant. It's like, hey, I don't even need Bad Bunny. I'll fight both of you by myself.
I mean, fair enough. I mean, I don't. And another point, you know, to add to that, Rob, is that Damian Priest barely wrestled in that match. He didn't have to. Bad Bunny did all of the work.
He was fresh.
So he was, he was fresh. So maybe that's what's going on. Also, Miz was wearing, well, for the most part, he was wearing a suit. By the end, he wasn't really wearing much at all. But and then Morrison, you know, he was probably wearing some tight jeans. He wasn't able to have the same range of mobility. So that's my excuse.
Really weird. That was so weird. Like, I was like, they were out here in dress clothes and jeans, and they are legit wrestling. I was like, all right, but basically, Miz was taking credit for the match. Damian Priest was like, yo, I'm offended. You know, Bad Bunny worked really hard. You know, don't take credit. And then Miz pointed out, like, those headlines don't say anything about you, Damian Priest. Like, they said everything about Bad Bunny. And I think Damian Priest challenged him to the handicap match to kind of prove himself. But it didn't work because, you know, Miz and Morrison are heels in a handicap match. Like, they cheated, not to mention Maryse.
Yeah.
Maryse helped with the
Was she in on it that she came up on the apron and Damian Priest was like so polite. He's like, ma'am, please. I'm operating here, ma'am. Ma'am, I don't want to see you get hurt.
Yes, Maurice is always in on it. Like, Maurice is amazing. I everybody knows, who listens, I love a good manager. I love a good valet. Mm-hmm. Maurice used to be Mrs. Valet, and she always puts him over the top. Like, just that snotty it couple type vibe is just, it works for them so well. And they were heels, but she'd been gone for the last like 3 or 4 years because she'd been having kids for him. And I do hope this means she's coming back, but we just don't know. I love Miz and Maurice together. And if she comes back, I think that might mean that it drives a wedge between him and John Morrison. So maybe we're leaning into a Miz and John Morrison program. So it'll be good to see.
Yeah, I hope they don't break them up, though. Rob, what do you think overall of just having the Miz and Morrison together? There's obviously
I like both of them. I'm a fan of both of them. Ironically, it's two of the people on the WWE roster that I've met. Got to meet the mayor of Slamtown when he came through Survivor. I met him. I went to David Wright had a watch party for the Edge of Extinction premiere, and John Morrison was there. I got to hang out with him a little bit on that night. And way back when, back in my crazy days, when I used to go to Johnny Fairplay's house and you have all the reality people over, I played a poker game against the Miz, and I won. It was me and him heads up in Texas Hold'em. That's and so I outlasted cool. the Miz.
Oh my gosh.
Was he trying to get you? Was he trying to get you into the world of wrestling? Were there any talks for either of them about you?
No.
Neither
of them tried to talk, tried to recruit me. I mean, I don't think that the Miz even knew who, knew my resume or backstory for anything. Hey. I was just the guy that happened to be at Johnny Fairplay's house.
Fair enough. Oh God, yeah. Johnny Fairplay's house. Another wrestling guy of all people.
I forgot about that. Yeah. So this was good. I mean, it gives us nothing to really wrap up, to be quite honest. Bad Bunny is going on tour. They did announce that during night two of WrestleMania that he's going on tour, but from everything that we've read,
Tour with wrestling or doing his own tour.
He put during WrestleMania night two, there was a vignette. I don't know. It was like a commercial for it. I don't even know how many cities was on that, Matt. How many cities was that?
I didn't even know people were going on tour.
Yeah.
It's like 100 city tour of the U.S. He's going to be busy for a while. For all intents and purposes, they're saying that he is dedicated to coming back to the WWE and wrestling periodically, so he might be on like a part-time schedule or something like that, but he loves it. And I just want to just quickly go to that WrestleMania match. He really sold his butt off. I rewatched the match, and he was in there most of the time. He literally was in there most of the time. Like Matt said, Damian Priest was waiting for the hot tag, and Bunny just sold everything that Miz and Morrison delivered to him. And it was amazing. Like selling can be the hardest part of wrestling, to be quite honest. And it's the most important part of wrestling to me personally. If you don't sell your opponent's moves, then why are we even here? What are we even doing here?
Yeah, so, he was getting ragdolled around just left and right. But that was the thing that was so impressive, that he was just taking so much of a beating from the two. But he had a way of, regardless of the moves, he had a way of at least acknowledging the crowd and showing and hulking up, all of that was beautiful and well done. And it is kind of a shame that we won't see him back in a match really soon. Yeah.
And again, one more time, I have to give it up to The Miz. The Miz is hands down one of the safest workers in WWE. Mm. He said it so many times. He rarely injured. I forget. He said it on one of his programs. Like he's barely ever injured. And again, the as much trust as it takes that they put a global international superstar into the Miz's hands. Again, shout out to John Morrison as well. But they are just some of the safest workers ever. And it's just great to see all of that paid off at WrestleMania.
Speaking of the Miz, though, I still am wondering from that match on Raw. At the end, we see Damian Priest reaches over, grabs him by the belt loops. The pants come off, kind of. His pants ripped, but the announcers didn't really acknowledge it. And was that an accident or what was going on there?
Rob?
I have it open in another tab right now.
He was half naked by the end of the match.
Yeah, and
I don't know if I would have brought it up.
It was part of the act because you have him start in a suit to end in his underwear. I mean that the shirt came off, then that's the natural progression. The pants came off, so I don't think it was a wardrobe malfunction.
Right. The announcers didn't really reference it or lean into it as much as I'm used to.
Oh my god,
his pants came up. We didn't get that. So that was it for me. But
team is kind of fresh now. So.
They are actually really new with some reshuffling happening. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was it. Maybe that's
Rob, any final thoughts on the Miz, John Morrison, Bad Bunny, and Damian Priest?
No final thoughts on that specifically, but I just wanted to weigh in if I could on, I know that there were people in the stands at WrestleMania, but this is the first time I'm watching like a wrestling event without the crowd there.
Oh yeah.
And I have to say, I thought that it's great what they do with the screens. I think you kind of forget that that's an empty arena.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me and Matt were talking. Yeah, we were talking about it on the one of our reaction podcasts that like having the fans back was actually weird and jarring to us.
It was distracting.
Yeah, so it was very distracting because we got used to the Thunderdome. Matt was in the Thunderdome 1 week. He got a shout out. Yeah, shout out to the Killer Queen. They provided us with some virtual passes to the Thunderdome.
Yes.
And Matt was there and they basically tell you when to like look up and cheer all of that.
They do a lot of like telling you to give a thumbs up or thumbs down. So if you're watching, you'll see a lot of this. It's strange. It's really strange.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they pipe in the booze. They pipe in the booze and the chants and all that. So like it is weird. It's definitely weird, but it helps the story along. I have been in crowds that have hijacked WrestleMania. That have hijacked wrestling matches. I've been there. I was in the crowd for the infamous like Cesaro pulls down the beach ball and pops the beach ball incident. Some of our listeners will get that. So sometimes the fans can be distracting. They can take away from the storyline. But a lot of the wrestlers, the superstars, said that they wouldn't have it any other way. They would still love being in front of the fans. And that's not a knock on the fans. It's just true. It's just a whole different experience. And we've gotten so used to the Thunderdome so that when we saw WrestleMania, it was quite weird. Mm-hmm. And then, so as somebody who's just checking in I'm glad that you found it pretty interesting, all the screens and stuff.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to get that behind me, friend. We'll have a know-it-alls like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could have been doing live shows all pandemic long just with the screens around you. And maybe you have, I don't know, like 100 computers set up. I don't know the logistics of this, but
I don't know the logistics.
There's still time to explore and do this, Rob.
Okay, we'll look into it.
We will.
Okay, so next up, our next clip we have. This hurts me. So I know I'm trying, Matt, you know. So at WrestleMania, the Raw Women's Championship was on the line. It was Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. I think we talked about how that match was adequate enough. It was okay. It was okay to me. Like there was no complaints for me about that match. I think it was a solid match. All of the booking made sense. again, I thought Rhea, I was surprised because it did seem like in that match, Rhea went full heel, at least in the way that she was talking to Asuka and hitting Asuka. I thought she was full heel. I feel like on Raw, they kind of did a weird retcon because I don't know if I would have immediately thought that Rhea came off as a heel. But I guess the biggest story, unfortunately, is we have to put that on the back burner because Charlotte Flair came out and gave a promo talking about missing WrestleMania. And so
Mari, how do you feel about Charlotte nowadays? I know you weren't the biggest fan before, but
why would you set me up like this?
I'm just checking. Maybe this promo and her turning over a new leaf really got to you.
No. I appreciate, let me start with the highlights. I appreciate Charlotte can give a promo. Charlotte can deliver a promo. Charlotte can even more deliver a heel promo.
This was
a heel promo. Her delivery, perfect. Her words, I don't agree with half of them, but I get it. It's a standard heel promo in a sense of I am the best. I am better than all of the women. She started naming the women, which I was like, okay. All right. You're saying you're better than all the women who performed on WrestleMania. She skipped the team too. I think she skipped the Riot Squad. Somebody pointed out, which is like, okay,
very
shady. Exactly. And then the one thing I didn't agree with, now I'm going to go into the bad part.
Uh-oh.
Her calling herself the opportunity. She is the opportunity.
Thank you.
No, girl.
I have questions. No. I get the convention. It's like, I'm not the blank it's weird. What does it mean that she's the opportunity?
She's basically saying that everybody wants the opportunity to face her. And that's where I very strongly disagree. I guess before I really, really get knee deep into this rant, Rob, as somebody who doesn't follow wrestling, the promo itself, what did it make you feel?
Yeah, very good. I was wondering, why was she not included in WrestleMania? Like, I feel like that she's a big. Yeah, I've heard you talk about her before on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I obviously know Ric Flair, so yes. I feel like why they have two nights of WrestleMania, they couldn't fit Charlotte Flair in.
Yeah, and I actually have some. So here's where I'm before Mari, before you respond, I want to add to Rob's question because I'm a little confused in the storyline, in kayfabe, why she wasn't included. I don't know if they gave a proper explanation. She did have COVID, but that was also like, a handful of weeks before. That was about a month ago at this point.
Yeah. So non-kayfabe, and I'm gonna say allegedly a lot of times here, allegedly recently her fiance was released from WWE. He was released, Andrade. And allegedly she asked for his release. She pulled his strings for him to be released, and allegedly one of the the terms they come to is like, okay, well, if we release him, then you have to miss out on WrestleMania, allegedly. And then on top of that, there was like this health situation, where allegedly WWE's health staff may have misdiagnosed her and kept her off the card. So there's no kayfabe reason, Matt.
Okay.
There's no kayfabe reason as to why she missed WrestleMania.
When you say they misdiagnosed her, did she actually have COVID?
No, she had COVID, but they thought that she was pregnant and then she wasn't pregnant. And there was a lot of back and forth around that.
Yes. Okay, Because you got to book these WrestleMania matches like weeks and weeks in advance. If somebody is like, their health status is up in the air, right?
Well, Rob, let me tell you.
No, that's not the case anymore. No, we just, it's to change it up on the fly.
Yeah, they love to just throw things together. That happened with a few of the matches we're talking about.
We're talking about, yes.
Asuka versus Rhea Ripley match.
Yeah.
That literally came together like a week and a half before WrestleMania.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Originally, Charlotte Flair was supposed to be in this spot on WrestleMania facing Lacey Evans for the Raw Women's Championship. But then Lacey got pregnant a month and a half ago, which took her out of the picture. Then a few weeks ago, we got maybe an inkling that it would be Charlotte versus Asuka. And then all of the rest of that stuff went down. And so now we have Rhea versus Asuka. And now we have Charlotte stepping back into that spotlight. So I answered that. Please keep going on how you felt about this promo.
Okay. And then why did she want her husband to be released?
Because
it's not like it wasn't her trying to get rid of her husband in any way.
Yes.
It was because he didn't want to be with the company anymore. Okay. So she was helping her husband and using her star power, essentially.
Who is her husband?
Andrade. He goes by Andrade Cien Almas in WWE, but his real name is like Manny something. He really, really wanted his release, and WWE is infamous for hoarding talent. They'd rather hoard them and then let them go and be great somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So she used her pull to actually get him out of the contract instead of, you know, a better spot on the card. So but this is all, again, allegedly, we don't know. But the biggest thing is she's coming back. She's declaring that she is the opportunity. And again, Rob, any more questions about this promo?
No, I think I got it. But she was expressing her grievance, which sets up what she's gonna do later.
Exactly. And so this is where I say, like, again, my dislike of Charlotte Flair, the character, comes through her booking. I really just do not like how they book her. I it annoys me to no end how they book her. And for her to call herself the opportunity is kind of a slap in the face to a lot of women, only because when they get the opportunity to face her, I'm sorry, they get buried. She buries people. It's like people talk about John Cena and his golden shovel, but Charlotte has a golden diamond studded shovel. I don't care. That's how I feel. And Rhea Ripley in particular has felt this. At last year's WrestleMania, Rhea Ripley was the NXT Women's Champion. Charlotte had just won the Rumble, and Charlotte had chosen Rhea Ripley to face off at WrestleMania. Rhea was an up and coming star. She had just gotten the belt 2 months prior, if I remember correctly. And Charlotte beat her for it. And it didn't really make any sense as to why Charlotte would win that match when Charlotte was already, you know, in the books and Rhea was just up and coming. And the loss hurt Rhea so badly that she wasn't on TV for a good 2 to 3 months directly after it. Rhea is actually have to build her character all the way back up to where she is now, having that good showing in the Rumble to now being on the Raw Women's Champion. So this is especially a slap in the face. The only way this will work is if Rhea gets her revenge. So later on in the night, Rhea Ripley is going up against Asuka in a WrestleMania rematch. It is not a very good match. I hate to say it. I don't really like judging the quality of the matches, but something about this match just really did feel very off. Asuka versus Rhea, and Charlotte came out, interrupted the match. There's a disqualification because Charlotte just beat them both down. She just interrupted the match and beat both Asuka and Rhea down. So the only way this is if palatable to me is if we eventually get Rhea versus Charlotte and then Rhea gets her win back to seal her victory and to be like, yeah, I'm the champion. If that's not what we're getting, please do not book this.
Oh, Maria. I always feel so bad when you talk about Charlotte because I think of like that scene in Clue where it's just flames in your face.
Inside of my face.
Oh man, I'm starting to feel it, but I'm confused. I have a very specific gripe with this situation, which is that Charlotte was barefoot when she ran out. I don't understand why she. This is the thing. Just come here to Russell. She did. She had them, and then she threw them off, and then kicked Rhea in the face. And I just don't think that's sanitary.
No. Do a lot of wrestlers wrestle bare feet? I was watching Riddle, mm-hmm. Riddle also, yes. And he's wrestling. And like, I don't think I've ever seen that before in my life. Before.
Yeah.
He has an MMA background. He has an MMA background, so he likes to wrestle barefoot. But some wrestlers did, but then if you mess up your ankle, like Rusev used to wrestle without shoes, right. But then he twisted his ankle and now he has boots. So it barely happens because it's just not safe, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and it was safe. A big thing with, I feel like there are probably a number of Samoan wrestlers that were coincidentally barefoot. And then also the Von Erichs, the Von Erich family out of Texas, which is really old school before our time. They were all barefoot, I think. So it's not that common.
The Texas tornado.
The Texas tornado. That's right.
Yeah.
So, Rob, what did you think about the attack and all of that that Charlotte did?
Yeah, I didn't have any, like, because I'm not super familiar with either of the women that were wrestling. So, Charlotte Flair was the person I knew the best out of these three. So, I was like, oh, okay, here comes Charlotte.
And you're the exact audience they want to capture with her because. Well, you know Ric Flair. So exactly.
The casuals,
Yes, for the casuals. And it's sad.
It's probably a good opportunity for the other women to wrestle against her.
So, no. That's what
I mean, maybe. About. That's a great point, Rob. Yeah. Actually, that's a really great point. She does have the name, too. And she's been around. She's had 13. What was it? 13 women's championships.
I think she's at 13 now. Yeah, she's at 13. And I would agree if the women could build off of the opportunity, but they just never can. The only person that Charlotte has made that I will even remotely give to her, and I still only halfway give it to her, is Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is the only star that Charlotte has really made. And again, that is Becky also putting in that hard work. So I just, you cannot call yourself the opportunity if you're the black hole where characters go to die. Like, I'm sorry. So name recognition or not. If you're not using your name recognition to build new stars, then you cannot call yourself the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And I have said that once and I will say it again.
The black hole would be a great nickname for her, though. It would be pretty solid.
Okay. So, God, I'm going to upset some people with that one. Next up at WrestleMania, we had the WWE Championship match, which was Bobby Lashley was the champion versus Drew McIntyre. Bobby Lashley retained, pulled out the win, and we get the show opening up with this. So it's your, even if you haven't watched wrestling in 20 years, Rob, I'm pretty sure you knew this formula. The champ comes out, says something, or in this case, the champ's manager comes out and says something. And then one by one by one, you have people coming out to challenge him, and then it turns into a match. So before we say anything, what did you think of these two clips of first Orton, Strowman, and McIntyre pitching that they wanted a title match and then the actual match itself?
Yeah, I like the idea of that. You know, Drew had just lost the night before. That the case that the other guys were making seemed to make sense. Hey, get to the back of the line.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you get? A rematch? But we end up with a triple threat match, which is always exciting.
Yeah, I love a good triple threat match. I really, again, MVP telling Drew to get to the back of the line was hilarious, because it's true. If you lost, get to the back of the line. But I do like the logic of Strowman and Orton coming out, because they technically did win their matches. They, you know, they won their matches. I say technically in Orton's case, they won their matches. So that would be, that would make logical sense. If they won their matches, they won a challenge for the title. That should put them one step ahead of McIntyre. But I do love the thought of putting them in a triple threat match. Matt?
You know, I don't know why, but for some reason that promo segment reminded, well, actually I do know why, because it's coming up now, the RuPaul's Drag Race finale. I just imagined all of the queens at the end talking about how they deserve the crown, and these three are fighting for the crown, and that's what they were going for. And it was really typical and standard. I think everyone had decent arguments. And as you pointed out, they had wins going into that match that they ultimately had. But yeah, pretty standard wrestling stuff.
But I was disappointed by the finish, because I liked Drew McIntyre the least out of these three guys.
Wow. Why do you think that is, Rob?
I don't know. I just feel like the other two had like more personality.
There you go.
I think there are a lot of people who have more personality than all three of them. So I don't know. But I thought that it was interesting that Drew won. I think a lot of people would have been upset if Randy Orton won. And Braun Strowman has been, I mean, I'm not, you know, marking this as a point against him, but he has been getting bullied a lot and called stupid for the last month. So it would have kind of been strange if he won.
Why is he being called stupid?
Shane McMahon, he's not a nice person.
And then he beat up Shane McMahon at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy to me that the McMahon family is like that was crazy. Watching the WrestleMania clips that why is Shane McMahon wrestling? Like, has Shane McMahon ever won a match against anybody? Like, does that ever happen? But he cheats.
There's something screwy in there.
And Vince, I'll say that Vince, I thought, still looks good, but he doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
He looks like garbled.
Vince is Vince has got to be in his late 70s.
He's 70 something.
Yeah. And you say, okay, maybe he looks he's in his 60s, but he sounds like he's in his 90s.
Oh, snap. Yeah, he really does. And yeah, Shane is still throwing himself off of stuff, and he's like 55 or something. But I do agree with you, Rob. Like, I like Drew McIntyre, but I didn't like the finish either, because, okay, so we're getting Drew and Bobby again, which kind of sucks, because we were just saying on our reaction podcast that's what we loved about the finish at WrestleMania. It was very decisive. Bobby Lashley handled Drew. He made him pass out, and it was like, okay, great, maybe we can move on from this. And then no, we're going straight back into it. So it's kind of like you undid the good stuff that you did on WrestleMania. And I think most of this was like that. Like, all of our highlights from this week, it was like only two instances was I like, oh, this is some good follow up from WrestleMania.
Exactly. Well, Mari, when we spoke during the week, you had said like, oh yeah, and then it'll probably be all like rematches. But I thought maybe you were being like sort of like just like joking around. I didn't know. It's like really
literally.
And not only that, the next pay per view is literally called WrestleMania Backlash.
Yes. Thank you.
Which is what's weird.
This is the first time they did used to have Backlash, but this is the first time that they're calling it WrestleMania Backlash, which
is weird.
A little bit confusing. It's great for searchability, though. If you are, you know, a casual who tunes in for WrestleMania, maybe you'll be tuned in and
maybe
really
people
confused.
Are like, oh, WrestleMania's today? Oh, okay. Let me order it.
Yeah. And I think it's because I think they're just calling it that because they're going right back to Raymond James Stadium, and they're going to have fans again, I think. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on it, but I think that's why. I think because it's so close together, it's going to be in 4 weeks. They're going to go back there, and yeah, they're trying to follow that same branding.
Could they have Super Bowl backlash and just have the Bucks play the Chiefs again?
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I didn't like sitting through it the first time. Why would I watch it again?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes would be like, Tom Brady, look, you got us on a bad day. Let's come out and give me another chance.
Yeah, I feel like the energy might be a little bit lower the second time around. Maybe people won't be as hyped up. I wasn't hyped the first time,
but that's just me.
It has to look different visually, or will it literally be the same exact set
or
same fans?
How about what if the Chiefs have to play against the Packers and the Bills in a triple threat match to see who gets the chance to then play the Bucks at Super Bowl Backlash?
That'd be amazing.
I don't know how that field is shaped, but I don't know if anyone listening has has any?
You've never seen
this,
a triple threat football game? That's when it's like one team's offense versus the other team's defense, and then it's the other team's special teams comes in on fourth down.
Is this really a thing?
We just invented it. Yeah.
Come pay us for the patent.
Yeah. Come on, NFL.
Yeah, or XFL. They might come back.
Oh,
again.
Yes. I really like the XFL when it was going. It's so sad that COVID cut
you,
that short.
You were the only one, Mari.
No, I wasn't. The DC Defenders, we were hyped.
It had some heat for it just was like really poorly timed. Like it was like 4 weeks in and then COVID hit.
Man, I loved it. We were going to go to a game and everything. We were about to buy the tickets. I guess that's it. I mean, again, this is a feud that is going to happen again at WrestleMania Backlash. Do they now take the belt off of Lashley at WrestleMania Backlash? Like, what was the point of this? Like that, I guess that's my question.
Well, so we did have the finish of this match, or actually after the match, with T-Bar and Mace from Retribution.
Oh, right. I forgot about that, which is weird.
Strange.
So are they being paid by MVP? I don't know. We don't have time to ask these questions.
I don't think do you think MVP is signing checks? He looks like he can.
Even if he is, why would T-Bar and Mace accept them? I thought this whole thing was like about anarchy. So,
I don't know. You know that they don't.
This makes sense.
There's no like theme to what's happening here, Mari. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing.
The two guys that attacked Drew at the end of the match were formerly in Retribution, which is supposed to be like a anti-fascism rip. Like a ripoff of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they would do this. This makes
like
no sense.
They have like the uniform of that, like the leather face mask that you always see. Yeah.
You clearly see those. But yeah, but it just doesn't make sense. And we'll see what happens. Maybe it's just another hit out on Drew by Lashley. Yeah. So next we're gonna get into the WrestleMania match.
I watched also the Bobby Lashley also fight. This was also on that same Raw? Did he fight Riddle on that?
Yes, he did. He did.
Yeah, I like that they just have the champ fight a random person.
Yes, and that which doesn't make sense because he lost. Mm-hmm. He lost at WrestleMania. He steps to Bobby Lashley saying, "Can I get a shot?" But Bobby Lashley was basically just like, "I just feel like beating up on somebody today," and that's why he
pissed him off. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, taking the trash out, but good for him. Yeah, and you know, I always get so nervous, not to come back to it, but I just need Matt Riddle to wear some shoes. He's going to heal her toe or something. I stub my toes all the time around my apartment, so I don't even know how he wrestles like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would never wrestle barefoot.
No. Thank you, Rob.
Never.
You need that ankle support. I don't know why he would do that.
He might have strong ankles.
That's the riddle. Well, why does he wrestle with no shoes on?
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, and I hate the fact that they took his first name away from him. I hate when WWE does that. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point, Rob. They did make Bobby Lashley look really strong in that match.
Yeah.
So now we have the WrestleMania match, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. So this is, we had a lot to say about this on our reaction podcast.
We did.
And we had to cut it short. So I want, Matt, I want you to walk us through this match and this storyline follow up, because you had a lot to say.
I had a lot of positive things to say about the Fiend Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton and the match at WrestleMania, where essentially we see Randy Orton come out. They've been just going back and forth in this feud for the last, I guess, 6 or 7 months at this point. And back in December, we saw Bray Wyatt lit on fire, as we saw again in the clip from the promo with Alexa this week. But, you know, going into the WrestleMania match, there were a lot of expectations. We weren't sure how they were going to top the burning of the Fiend a few months back. And, you know, without getting into all of the details of it, we did see the Fiends look really strong in the match. Randy Orton did win the match by rolling up the Fiend, and Alexa Bliss was featured. And so I'm a fan of this match. Mari was not a fan of this match. A lot of people actually weren't a fan of this match, but I want to give you the floor, Mari, to tell me about how you've changed your mind about this match. Because I'm still a fan of it. I rewatched it.
I have not changed my mind. The match, again, like I said that night, it wasn't the match. The match itself was pretty good. It was, why did Randy Orton pin the Fiend? Why did the Fiend lose at WrestleMania when he basically debuted a new character, and but then an old character? And then it was so confusing. And then we said that night, oh, it's about the follow-up. They have to follow it up with something, or I'm going to be upset. Well, guess what? I'm upset because I didn't like this follow up either at all. So let's get into the clips.
Burn. Fire. Get it.
So this week on Raw, like Matt said, at the end of the WrestleMania match, the Fiend was staring at Alexa Bliss with the black ooze coming down her face. Mm-hmm. It distracted him long enough for him to get RKO'd and to take the pin by Randy Orton. So we get Alexa's promo. Basically saying what Matt, I think you said it that night. Alexa realized she didn't need the Fiend. She had invoked a power within herself that now she didn't need him anymore.
Yeah. And just to add to that, the thing that I thought was interesting, the thing that I liked the most about that match at WrestleMania, one, it wasn't long, but also we saw Alexa featured at the end, you know, sitting on top of the pentagram. Actually, it wasn't a pentagram Jack in the Box. They didn't have a pentagram on it. Maybe they were afraid of,
I think they did,
of making a pentagram too big. Maybe it was on one of the sides or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, we saw her featured, and we don't really see women featured with main eventers like that, especially at WrestleMania. A lot of people have been just discounting her in some ways, with them only talking about the Fiend and about Randy Orton. And I like that she's really carrying the torch with this feud. And it was interesting, because when I watched this segment with Alexa back again, there was a lot of her kind of a lot of empowerment stuff within it, where she's like, I don't need this man to do what I'm doing. So I thought that was cool. And I'm good with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt moving on from this, hopefully. But Alexa's been awesome.
Well, first off, I think the Fiend is very creepy. I'm not a fan. And then everything that you made me watch was also super creepy and disturbing.
Sorry.
And I know that's what they're going for. Like, I get it, but this is not for me.
No, you didn't show this to your kids?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Well, and also, I think it's unfair. Why does they change the lighting for when the Fiend wrestles?
It's supposed to be an aura, like an aura thing. It's supposed to make the match feel different. And I
guess so, but that like what that like it feels like that this special treatment for the Fiend.
He might have some hookups in the production.
It's his powers. Yeah, it's his power. Yeah, he does
powers.
Because he makes
definitely the
lights. He has light power. Like, he can turn the lights on and off. He can turn them red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Yes. So this is all really wild for me. Mm-hmm. And so Yeah, I did not have the backstory that Bray Wyatt is the Fiend. So I was a little confused about, like, then who's this other guy that shows up and is showing up in the cartoon?
So Bray Wyatt, and this is why I say I don't like the follow-up, because Alexa saying she felt empowered, okay, whatever, girl. And then she she has a little voodoo doll sitting there next to her, which looks like it's a woman. So I don't know.
I don't like creepy dolls either.
Me and
not
you,
Rob's gimmick.
Same boat. Yeah. Same boat. So I feel like she kind of addressed it, and it was like, okay, I guess. And when Bray Wyatt came out in his funhouse, Rob, Bray Wyatt in his funhouse was how we were introduced to the Fiend. It was Bray Wyatt, he'd be in the funhouse, and then when he flipped the switch, he would be the Fiend. But the Fiend got burnt up and was gone. And when the Fiend came back, there was no mention of Bray Wyatt. Like, it was, he came back as the Fiend. So this is, again, something else that I didn't like. Bray Wyatt was basically like, oh, that was fun. Ha ha. You know, I've been gone, but now I'm back. Let's get back to it. Like, nothing happened. Like, the last 7 months did not happen. Okay, we're over exaggerating. It's been like five. But like, mm-hmm. the past 5 months didn't happen. And I am actually floored, and I hate it, because I think it was like two podcasts ago that I said, I hope that he comes back all burnt up. I hope he never talks again. I hope Alexa is his vessel to talk through. I hope we don't get a Bray Wyatt. We just get the Fiend from now on. And they said, Mari, we're going to do the opposite of that. They brought back the old Fiend at WrestleMania. He went from the burn Fiend to walking through some weird tunnel. And now he's regular Fiend again. And then all of a sudden it's Bray Wyatt's back. And I'm just kind of like let down. And then he lost as well. So he lost to Randy. He's back to old Fiend. Bray Wyatt is now here, but Bray Wyatt is acting like nothing happened. And it's just kind of disappointing to me. I just wanted to get Rob's just point of view real quick on like a little bit more of that back.
Yeah, I'll take it. I think wrestling is weird. It's really weird. This segment, these gimmicks are really strange, and I'm not going to try to predict it. I did appreciate, I'm just going to say before handing it over to Rob for thoughts, is he did say no more clout chasing, and I never really thought of Alexa Bliss as a clout chaser, but you know, I don't know. I think like maybe John Morrison is more of a clout chaser on the roster here, but that was a thought. I didn't realize there was such tension between them though.
So who is Firefly?
Oh, it's just the name of his funhouse. It's the Firefly Funhouse, and that's
creepy.
Yeah, it's just
not
creepy.
Very fun.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Sorry. Technically, when he was Bray Wyatt, like the cult leader back in the day, the Fireflies were like his fans, like his cult members. They're the Fireflies, the people who are drawn to him. You know, that's what it used to mean, but it's been so far removed from his original character that it's just a Firefly Funhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's always just that creepy little children's TV show type deal.
And I really don't like that.
Exactly.
Does Bray Wyatt ever wrestle as Bray Wyatt?
So, yeah, he used to. Before the Fiend went bye-bye, he would wrestle he would wrestle as Bray Wyatt sometimes, and he would come out to the Firefly Funhouse music. And then in one of his programs, he's like, okay, I don't want to face Bray Wyatt anymore. I want the Fiend. And so then the Fiend would come out. It was kind of like with Foley when he had the different faces.
Yeah, yeah.
But he only did that a few times. He would normally speak as Bray Wyatt and then wrestle as the Fiend.
And the Fiend is over now?
No, I don't think the Fiend is over. I don't know where they go from that. I honestly don't. They gave us nothing, Rob, to be quite honest. All of this is just us conjecturing off of what we've saw at WrestleMania between these two clips that we got this week. We don't know. And sometimes this is what happens. They just don't know where they're immediately going to take the storyline. So this is filler. This is straight up filler. And it sucks that we have to end our podcast on this, because this is one of the storylines that we like really followed from the, like, literally from episode zero, followed from the beginning. And I'm just really disappointed on how it's ending out.
Mm.
Yeah. So, any last thoughts on Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss, any of that?
I'm good. I'm good with them.
I know. Yeah. Let's move on.
Sorry.
Yeah, let's move
Sorry about that, Rob.
Yeah.
We get it. It's we've gotten used to it at this point, mm-hmm. but it's shocking for us too.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So we got to talk about the WrestleMania Intercontinental Championship match between Big E and Apollo Crews. It was a Nigerian drum fight. We only got a little blurb on SmackDown about this, but basically the match itself, I think we don't have to add to the match. We said it was a really good hard-hitting match between Big E and Apollo Crews. They have really good chemistry. The match itself was good. It was like, again, very solid match. We found out that a Nigerian drum match is literally just a kendo stick match with drums mm-hmm. on.
Lots of drums around
lots of drums all around
How
the
do
ring.
We win the Nigerian drum fight?
It's the same thing. It's just pinning mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah, nothing to do with the drums at all. And, you know, that would have been nice to see someone playing a drum. I was joking about it before, but that would have been pretty
cool. Well, I would think it could be like a ladder match of like the first person who like to like the drum is like 15 feet above the ring
drum
or something
on a pole.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking stacking the drums on top of each other and then climbing them to grab the championship, which mm-hmm. could work.
All I know is that it was a kendo stick match. That's all it was. We talk about it all the time, how they try and come up with new gimmick names for the same matches. It's just like they had kendo sticks and drums, and it was just a kendo stick match, and it's whatever. Basically, during the match, according to the announce team, an unknown person came, beat up Big E to help Apollo Crews win the championship. So on SmackDown on Friday, we got a clip of Apollo Crews introducing Commander Aziz. But if you have been listening to our podcast,
literally like a week ago,
you'll know that this was actually Dabba Kato from the Raw Underground segment, a prospect that WWE signed maybe a year or two ago. And he's brought on as Commander Aziz, and Apollo said that he was in the Nigerian private guard or something like that, and now mm-hmm. he's going to be following Apollo Crews around. And I guess Rob, what did you think of what did you get from this? Because it's not much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know a lot about the Nigerian military. I don't know enough of the backstory to have an informed opinion about this. That it seems that out of left field that we have like a person from the Nigerian guard showing up.
Basically,
it happens, Matt? Rob. But in general, about it, how do you feel about this dynamic with the little guy and then his bigger manager, his heavy? I don't know what we would call him.
I mean, but he's the Intercontinental Champion. He doesn't need a bodyguard.
Look,
no,
maybe
he's a heel. Actually, so
to that point, I don't know why he needs a bodyguard, but he wants one. Who really needs one? These are wrestlers.
The best backstory we could tell you was Apollo Crews and Big E have been feuding for the IC title for two months now or so, like that. And Apollo embraced his Nigerian roots in order to get like more aggressive. And he started talking with an accent. And so after embracing his Nigerian roots, before embracing his Nigerian roots, he was losing to Big E. And then he finally got a win, like a non-title win against Big E, and then he beat him at WrestleMania. But now he has help from this guy. So basically, you know as much as we know. Like, this is not something we hid from you. Like, this is literally all we got.
Okay. Commander Aziz. This big
Commander Aziz.
Have like usually like in wrestling, it's like, okay, well then there has to be somebody on like the Big E side of things. So you could have then Commander Aziz like fight somebody else on the next SmackDown.
Well, Rob, he's Big E. He can handle it. He doesn't need someone with him. That's his thing. But he does have friends. He has friends, WWE, a lot of these people don't have friends. But Big E has friends in the New Day. But it's a tag team. I feel like we'll probably, I don't know if Big E's going to have any help with this one.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I do like that Big E wasn't there. I mean, he wasn't there. He was selling, which is great. I love a good selling the Nigerian nail that Apollo. Mm. Yeah, he hit him with a Nigerian nail and that put Big E out for a week. So.
Yeah, well, if either of you ever need to get in a fight or you see a fight coming up, just tape your thumb up, tape your hand up nice and tight, and then just hit someone with your thumb, and that will do it. That'll take them out for a whole week.
Does not seem safe in either direction.
Rob,
are you going to Nigerian nail anybody?
No, I will not. I'm not going to do that.
Nope, not at all.
You have my promise.
Oh, thank you. God.
Yeah,
don't try this at home.
Nope.
Yeah, don't try it at home. Exactly. So again, another kind of cliffhanger-ishy thing. At least we got Dabba Kato's new name. You know, the wardrobe is still weird. Apollo Crews, I want to see him as the champion. I want to see what he does, I guess. Big E was having a very good Intercontinental Championship run, so I'm really sad to see it come to an end. But this is where we're at. Apollo Crews might fight Big E. I can't see a world where Big E doesn't come back and then just like take some shots at Apollo. I mean, that's what's probably going to happen. But that's all we know. So the Universal Championship match, this is a great match. It headlined WrestleMania Night 2, Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. And I did like this. I did kind of like this follow-up, because what we get is we get Roman Reigns coming out to a promo basically being like, I did it. I beat the mess out of Edge and Daniel Bryan. Throughout the week, we saw a lot of people complaining. We technically, didn't Edge pin Daniel Bryan, since Edge was stacked on top of Daniel Bryan? Mm-hmm. But they showed pictures. Edge's shoulders were down and Daniel Bryan's shoulders were both down, and then Roman pinned both of them. And we talked about it that night on Stereo, that is as decisive a pin as you can really get there. He took them both down, and surprisingly, Edge and Daniel Bryan were not there. So we immediately get Cesaro coming out to challenge Roman Reigns. And again, same logic. Cesaro is like, I beat Seth Rollins. I won my match. I should get a title shot. Roman was basically like, no. We ended up getting Cesaro versus Jey Uso. Main event, Jey Uso. It's become commonplace. If you want to get to Roman, you got to beat Jey first. We've been seeing this for the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. I mean, we're seeing it again. But luckily, we got Seth Rollins interfering, because at WrestleMania, we got Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. So I like this. I like how they merged both those storylines. And it was interesting.
Yeah. Right. Why do you think Cesaro's getting disrespected like that by Roman, though? Roman just walked away from him. Roman and his whole family walked away from him like that. And Cesaro's been around. He's not a rookie. I don't really understand what that dynamic's about.
Cesaro is like he just showed up and then they're like, get back to me when you've put some time in here.
They didn't even bother saying that much. They were just he's going to go get the mic. So we're going to walk away while he's not paying attention. So
this could be good because they're starting to bring in a lot of real life Cesaro stuff. So famously, Rob, Cesaro is one of those wrestlers who's been in the WWE for a long time and he has massive fan support, but he's never held the championship title. And a lot of fans have criticized WWE for holding him back. Vince McMahon famously went on a podcast and said Cesaro can't reach the brass ring. So during the
set, because Vince won't let him, or he's not good enough.
Exactly that. Vince won't let him. He's a great wrestler.
Won't let Cesaro get near the brass ring.
Exactly. Yeah. So the fact that they're bringing in all this, like we know this. The fans have known this for years that they always stop and start push Cesaro. So in the feud with Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins brought it up. Cesaro had never had a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. That was his first one-on-one match at WrestleMania. Seth made fun of him, said you have done nothing here in the WWE. Cesaro beats Seth. Roman does this, the exact same thing. You're a nobody. I'm walking away. All this is going to do is just going to make his fans want to see him win. So this, now will WWE let him win? I'm scared. But this is a great, great start.
What's so great about Cesaro?
Thank you. That's my question too. Because
the only thing I can tell is that I think people like it when he swings people around in a circle.
Yeah, get him wrong.
Which I may or may not have done to one of my kids today.
I like Cesaro. I am not a rabid Cesaro fan.
Right.
He's good at wrestling. He's just really good at wrestling. Honestly, that's why a lot of people like him. He's a great wrestler. For me, his character needs work. They've never given him a real character, really. And his character is like a James Bond-y type of character. Like, they've never really given him anything to sink his teeth into, but the audience loves him.
For me, I feel like it seems like he's like a new guy, but he looks like an old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always, it's always kind of been his thing.
I was how old is he? Is he 30? Is he 50?
Yeah.
Maybe that's his gimmick.
That's a great question.
It could be a Benjamin. Maybe he does seem like he's actually looking a little bit younger than when he started. So
yeah,
he's 40. Yeah, he's 40.
Okay. Split the difference.
Yes, his wrestling career is long. That makes sense. I think he's been wrestling for at least 15 years. And again, the reason why people love him is he was an indie darling. Like, he's an indie wrestling god. They loved him. Everything he's done on the indies. He's been signed to the WWE since 2014 or something? Maybe sooner than that? Was it sooner? 2012? Probably. Something.
He's
been there for a very long time and has not gotten that championship belt. So people feel like he's underutilized.
Yeah. I think what people love most about him is that he swings people around, though. That's that's his thing. He can just swing you around 30 times
like that.
Exactly. You know what? It's simple. Kids love it.
Everybody likes
it. Cesaro is.
Yeah. Do people like Roman Reigns now?
No.
Do they like him? Do they like him?
No.
I think they like him. I like him.
Heel Roman Reigns,
They didn't used to like him. They loved him when he started, and then they didn't like him when WWE was starting to push him and just put all their force behind him. And then he was out with leukemia, came back after a very short amount of time. People loved him. Mm-hmm. Then the pandemic happened. He became a heel. People, I don't know. Maybe people love, I think people do appreciate him at least.
I appreciate him, but I don't know if you saw, if it was on one of the clips, Rob, but at WrestleMania, he got booed, but he did it. He wanted it. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that, you know, The Rock, you know, famously, like, it wasn't until he became a heel did he really, like, connect with the fans. I'm surprised it took this long for them to get to Roman Reigns, the heel.
Yeah, they explained that for his heel character to work, they wanted him to be more seasoned. That's what Paul Heyman has said. That's their idea about this heel character. He is now the head of the table. He is the undisputed tribal chief of the WWE. Like, he has the little gray hairs to prove it. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love the run. I love this heel run for Roman. I don't want it to stop, to be quite honest, for a while, personally.
Yeah.
So, but I think he will just always have people who don't like him. Like, no matter what he does, he will always have people who truly don't like him, period. And you know, not playing along.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the good news is, like, we're going to, at some point, if it all works out, going to see Roman Reigns versus The Rock at WrestleMania, probably in a couple of years in LA when that happens. And so I hope that Roman's going to stay as a heel. He's done incredible work. It's just been fun to watch. And he's just such a boss. He just shows up and tells people like it is.
I like him.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. How could you not? And everyone likes his hair a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. Love his hair.
Good hair. So
lustrous. Yeah. So I think no matter what, he can. I think they just want to keep, that title on him. Because whoever takes it off of him, they want to make sure that they build a star off of him.
It's not going to be Cesaro.
I don't know. I don't know. Probably not.
It's like a pizza place. What are we going to get from Cesaro's tonight? But he's Swiss.
Yeah, he's Swiss. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Swiss pizza? Is that like a Long Island thing?
Something. I just think it's going to be great. Whenever he does drop that belt, I feel like it's going to be a great moment because Roman does do a really good job of putting over people over. Roman had people convinced that Braun Strowman was a good character. So, like, Roman can really put people over, to be quite honest. And I can't wait to see that. And I think no matter what, he'll be a heel. I think he'll be a heel for a good couple years, title or no title. And yes, we need to see Roman versus The Rock. Like, that needs to happen. Like, has to.
Oh, it's happening. Yeah. If all works out, you know, it will happen. WWE would have probably put that on this year if they could, but.
Yeah. And the good thing is, I think, if I'm going to guess, because again, this is one of those open-ended, We're trying to wrap things up, but this is open ended. I think Edge and Daniel Bryan will come back, and I think they'll fight each other because the message we were told throughout that whole match was that Edge or Daniel Bryan could have won that match, but they kept getting in each other's way. So I think when they come back, they might have a little mini feud between themselves, and then Cesaro will have to go through Seth Rollins to get to Roman. So this could be like a contendership. Maybe we'll get like a contendership match at WrestleMania Backlash to see who can face Roman. I can see something like that happening. Then Money in the Bank is down the road in June. So we'll see how that goes. But I think this is a very smart way to merge two of the storylines in a logical way that could probably keep Roman from wrestling for a while so that he holds the belt. So I like this. I like everything about this, and I'm definitely going to keep up with this.
Yeah, and I wonder what we're going to see between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Of course, they were part of the Shield. That's how they debuted on the roster together. So WWE loves to come back to this story of, you know, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and I think we'll see them together at some point. We really haven't seen them cross paths since.
Right.
Seth returned from maternity leave, I guess, a month ago at this point. So it should be interesting. I wonder who will be on Cesaro's side in his corner, if we're going to get Cesaro with Daniel Bryan or what they're going to do there. But I think it'll be fun. It's a lot of really talented people, so it's going to be well done. But who knows what WWE is going to give us these days.
Yep. Any last thoughts before we move on to the main event?
We could go on to the next one where we will. Oh, Mari, are you ready to dive in and talk about none other than the EST of WWE, even though the WrestleMania graphic said that she was the EST of NXT? Bianca Belair.
Oh, I missed it.
They messed up. Yeah.
That's okay. Everybody has a bad day. Yeah. The WrestleMania match, one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. I don't care. I said it. The SmackDown's Women's Championship match, Sasha Banks was the champion versus Bianca Belair. And Bianca, she won that title. She won the title in her WrestleMania debut in what was an amazing match, her versus Sasha Banks. I mean, we literally just gushed all over this match. In our reaction. And it was such a good match. It was really good. And I get this follow-up. I like this follow-up. Again, they left it very open-ended, very, very open-ended. And this is just what happens sometimes in those weeks directly after the pay-per-view. Rob, we couldn't send you the match. Sorry, guys. We couldn't send Rob the matches. We just had to give him highlights because, you know, it's behind a paywall. But just, did you look into this match? What did you think about from everything you saw about the match between Sasha Banks and?
Yes, well, I've heard about the hype for many weeks. I know how excited you both were, and I listened to your reactions to this match. But it's very incredible. Congratulations to Bianca for becoming the. You know, I feel like I learned more about Bianca this week and I know less about Sasha,
which is fine. That makes more sense because they're shifting. They have to shift that spotlight because Sasha was in that spotlight and they're shifting it on to Bianca now. What did you think of Bianca, the shift there?
Well, I mean, the thing that's really, you know, striking to me is just like her hair and her ponytail. Like I've never, I'm so worried about her that she's going to get hurt.
Yeah, it's not the most practical thing. And like, I think the women's wrestler who has the best hair is Rhea Ripley because she keeps it short. No one's able to get a hand on it and grab it. Mm-hmm. Bianca goes the other direction.
It's such an iconic look.
Exactly.
But
it's a good look.
Like I just like, I'm just worried it's going to get caught in the turnbuckle or like there's so many different ways that like I wish that, you know, and she like wrestles with the long ponytail. Mm-hmm. I would like to see her like put it like into some sort of like Princess Leia style bun or something. Just like I'm like get like a bobby pin and just do like I'm so worried she's gonna get her, like decapitated.
Well, Sasha, you did everything she could think of to use Bianca's brain against her in that WrestleMania match, which is what made it so awesome. But I don't know if you saw Bianca use that braid at the end of the match. She whipped it against Sasha's stomach, left a very big scar, and used it to finish out the match. After the whole match of Sasha using the braid against Bianca, Bianca got the upper hand, used the braid against Sasha, and ended up winning. It's just a mastery of storytelling, especially with two black women fighting over a black woman's hair. It's just so good, the storytelling. And she actually trained. She trained on how to wrestle with that braid. That's why when she does. But you know what I'm saying. Like, whenever she's doing certain moves, she knows where to put it. She knows how to either hold it or she has had it down. So hopefully you won't have to worry about her too much, Rob.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that makes you feel better.
Yeah. But it's very exciting.
Yes. Matt, it's been a week. Have you come down from that high?
Well, okay. So from immediately after watching the match, absolutely, but mostly just so I could function in the real world.
Right.
It was a phenomenal match. It's still my match of it's the match. It's the match for me that I want to point people to when they ask why I love wrestling and why I've been a fan. We haven't gotten this over our time as fans ever. This just hasn't happened in wrestling history. So the fact that we had this match between two black women, as was mentioned, I believe for the first or possibly only time right before the match by Michael Cole,
right,
like blows my mind. But like the fact that we got this was really awesome. They did a really incredible job. We saw Bianca's strength on full display, and they just did a great job telling the story. And the nice thing about all of this is that this week we've gotten a little bit of the victory tour with Bianca, and it's just a lot of emotion from her and a lot of gratitude from her, which, you know, we don't get a lot in wrestling. So it kind of feels nice to see that.
Yeah. I just love that in every reaction video they have of her, like immediately after, a week later, she's just so thankful to be given that opportunity. Very humble, you know, just crying, just reliving it, crying before the match. Like, she is just so thankful to be given this opportunity to do this at this high level. And she gets it. Like, we talk about how wrestling is fake. It's scripted. It's whatever you want to call it. Don't call it fake. It's scripted. The outcomes are determined. And that's why that's the main thing that people be like, who cares if she won the championship? They were going to give it. They gave it to her. But that's the thing. They have to trust you enough to give you that championship. Like that, that is the thing there. It might not be, you know, won in a way that you're not expecting it, but you have to convince the people in the back to put their prize possession on you, and
it's
that
not
you
the
will
lottery that you just like pulled the right ping pong ball backstage.
And so I just love that it means everything to her, and you can see it means everything to her. So I that's why I like this match. I love the little victory party that they threw. Rob, the Street Profits, Montez Ford is her husband. The skinnier one. Yes, that's her husband.
Yeah, I saw somebody came up and kissed her at WrestleMania. And I said, but he was wearing like street clothes. I was is her husband like must be a civilian and came up? And so that's so interesting.
They met at WWE tryouts. They both came into the WWE around the same time, about 5 years ago or so.
Yes.
They met there and they got married. I think they got married a year or two ago. It's very recently, but they've been dating since then, and they are so cute. Like she said, she wanted them to go and get that gold, and that's where we go into our highlight where the Street Profits went against the Dirty Dogs.
that's what they're calling themselves,
which is weird, yo.
What's weirder, Sexy Muscle Friends, which is another tag team that we haven't talked about today, or Dirty Dogs?
Sexy Muscle Friends is weirder than Dirty Dogs.
Just checking
that's a women's tag team too. But yeah, so they had an immediate tag match there, and I was so hype. I really wanted them to win, but they didn't. I'm like, dang it. And Bianca said, we only wear gold in this house. So I'm hoping
he's sleeping outside.
The Street Profits have been on a comeback tour to get those belts, because they're the ones who lost the belts to them. So I hope it happens.
I couldn't imagine if my wife was the SmackDown Women's Champion and then I couldn't even win my tag team match. You have a partner? You can't even win your match? Do you realize I'm the SmackDown Women's Champion?
The nagging would be out of the
I would love
right?
to see that.
I know. Yeah.
I would feel very like inferior.
Yeah. You know, but the good
thing is, rightfully so.
Montez has a track record of being very supportive of Bianca. Yes. It is all up and down his social media and his Twitter. They are, you know, they are grounded in faith together, and they just, they love each other. And I love seeing it. I want to see it more. I follow them on every platform that they are on, and I hope they get it. I want this little faction. I want this faction to happen. I want the Street Profits to get that gold, maybe at WrestleMania Backlash. I don't know. We'll see. And then I want her to be able to walk out with them, and that'd be so cool to me. I want it to happen. I really do. This was a very, very special moment, Matt.
This, Matt, did either of you notice that?
Yes,
Dolph Ziggler had his. Okay, just want to make sure that you saw that he. I guess he had a clip-on braid. Maybe he got it sewn in or something. I don't know. But he was wearing a Bianca Belair braid during the match, just kind of to mock her.
Dolph Ziggler, yeah.
I didn't notice this, for Dolph Ziggler until the end of the match.
Yeah. But
that was very understated. And I don't know where he got that braid from.
I don't know either.
Mm-hmm. But that's safer, because I feel like then if somebody pulls on that, then it'll come off.
It really looked like one of the sexy muscle friends gave them a clip of their hair to put in there.
That might have been actually probably.
He's such a troll. Dolph Ziggler is such a troll. That's so funny.
Yeah.
But I do want to get in real quick. I couldn't find any clips anywhere because WWE sucks.
Can I ask one more question?
Oh yeah,
What's the origin of the Street Profits? Because when I first heard Street Profits, I thought like, oh, it's PROPHETS. Mm-hmm. Like they have like prophetic things that they're saying, but it's PROFITS.
Yep. Street
like,
Profits.
Are they like? Like investment bankers?
No,
this is WWE. So
they're drinking out of solo cups too. Like I don't.
Yeah. What are they profiting from?
They started off as a tag team. They're like they have lots of swag. Like they just ooze swag. D'Angelo Dawkins, like originally before they became a tag team, he came out in like a baller gimmick, like a basketballer, like he was, cause I think he used to play football though, but he had like a basketball gimmick, Montez, and then they put them together. Montez Ford, I can't remember if he's an athlete, but they're like the Street Profits. They're very swaggy. They used to have their own like backstage segment where they go around talking to people backstage and kind of like clowning on people. Okay. They're just two goofballs that are just really fun to watch.
Okay. So the Profits, it's just wishful thinking, basically.
They're making money. They're in WWE.
Okay, yeah. Not as much as Bianca, but okay.
Oh, snap. Mm-hmm. And they always bring out the solo cups because it's a party, like every time they're out there. And they're just fun. They're a really fun characters. They were they're really fun on NXT. Yeah. It was a little different now that they're
high
on the
flyers. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And they're just fun. I love them. I love the Sweet Street Profits. They've held both the SmackDown and the Raw Tag Team Championships. Very well decorated team, to be quite honest. So they're only on their way up. And I'm pretty sure once Vince is done with him and wants to rip that tag team apart like he loves to do, I think Montez will probably get the push once that happens.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but this is all good. We're still in the Bianca stage because we got Sasha backstage. Bianca did this whole promo saying thanking Sasha Banks, just saying she knew she could live up to that moment because it's something she had visualized. She gave the perfect baby face promo of just like, I visualized I could do it. I knew I could do it. You know. And I'm going to defend this championship. And thank you, Sasha, because it takes two to tango. It was a great promo. I love Bianca. But then we get Sasha Banks behind in the back, just seething. Like she said nothing. Sasha she had an interviewer there. She was just mad. She's just mad. She didn't have her title and she left. And I was like, okay, great. Sasha's mad. Looks like we're going to get another try because Bianca has been very vocal about getting another shot at Sasha, you know, having Sasha have an immediate rematch. And then to put it even more into perspective. We got a Bailey promo directly after as well. And Bailey said, I can't believe that Bianca has the title. I am going to restore some prestige to it. Now I'm going to chase for the title. And of course, WWE didn't have any clips about this, immediately after. So I was very pissed because I watched it live, but yeah. Bailey is coming for the title too. So we have both Sasha and Bailey coming for Bianca's title, and I cannot be any more excited. Like, I am jazzed. I can't wait. I don't know what's going to happen. Bianca was on Talking Smack saying that she wants to face Sasha again. She's already pinned Bailey. She said all the four horsewomen can come at her. Matt, what did you think about this follow up?
Well, it's good to see that they're getting in there, that we have some direction for Bailey. We know what Sasha's going to be doing. We kind of knew that she was going to be mad, and we'll see how mad exactly. But I'm looking forward to whatever they're going to throw at us with these three.
So I was watching from the WrestleMania highlights, and Bailey is interviewing people at WrestleMania, and I'm like, what is this? Who is this person that's like Edna from The Incredibles that's just out there? Interviewing everybody. I didn't know that she's even like in the mix.
She was the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion. Unfortunately, she didn't have a feud going into Mania. So she basically tried to steal hosting duties from Hulk and Titus. So she was popping up on WrestleMania. She popped up at the announcer's desk saying, like, she was announcing. She popped up hosting before the Bella Twins assaulted her, basically. Mm-hmm. Bailey is just funny. She's a heel who's just basically is there to annoy everybody. So she had us rolling and cracking up at WrestleMania. And I'm glad that she is now serious and back to business and trying to go for that title.
I think we're going to see some more shenanigans with her. You can't go from her messing around, like messing with everyone at Mania, kind of trying to get, you know, she was trying to get the NWO old school to sweet her and show her a little bit of love. Any of that. I like goofy Bailey a little bit, but I like to see Bailey in the ring too. So I'm glad that we're going to get her in the ring. Hopefully not too much of a goofball.
Exactly. I'm just excited. Rob, I don't know if you got to see any of the clips, but Bailey and Sasha, I don't care if they have to go through each other, because they're a little backstory. They're like best friends, and they've had great feuds together. Maybe one of the greatest women's wrestling matches ever they had, like 6 years ago together. So when they have a match, that's going to be great. If they include Bianca into that, that's going to be great. I'm just really excited. Were you able to get any of that from any of what we just said?
So that I definitely was able to take away from what you said, but I hadn't seen any of Bailey outside of the WrestleMania clips.
Yeah, which really is unfortunate. They really said she just didn't have a feud going into WrestleMania to justify her being on the card, which is
crazy. Should have had her fight Charlotte Flair.
We agree. Give her anything. Something, anything. Mm-hmm. Please.
Yeah.
But hey,
because cool. Bailey and Sasha Banks basically kept the company afloat throughout the pandemic. They really did. And she didn't get anything. So I think that's it for me. Any last minute about Bianca and Sasha?
Anything else about Bianca and Sasha? We could.
I know.
Of talking about them, but nothing new about Bianca and Sasha. Other than I'm just glad that they'll continue to put them together, because there's definitely something there. And that was only their first match, but I wonder what we're going to see down the line as the feud develops.
Yeah.
Can I go back to something from WrestleMania?
Yes, I was just about to say. Rob, is there anything on WrestleMania
The WWE Hall of Fame. What a joke this is.
Agreed. Agreed.
Right. I mean, yeah. First off, like every single wrestler that ever lived is apparently in the WWE Hall of Fame, right?
Pretty close. We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Are there some people that are just like frozen out that they're like Vince doesn't like them and they'll never get in? But it's like some of the people that like they did the roll call of the who's being inducted. I was like, what? Really?
Yes. And this year is different too, because they had to induct two classes. So it really seemed like a lot of people too, because class of 2020 Hall of Famers, they didn't get to celebrate last year. So they did them on night one. Yeah. And then on night two, they did class of 2021.
Okay.
So yeah, I know. I get it. It's made up, though.
And then William Shatner is in the WWE Hall of Fame for what? Yes. What did he ever do with wrestling?
They have a celebrity wing.
What did he ever show up at any wrestling event ever?
They showed some clips, but I don't
remember ever William Shatner being involved.
That was way WWE. Before my
time. And all of you, like what? So. Of all years to induct him. But then again, we have Drew Carey in the Hall of Fame. Drew Carey had his moments. Those were great. What other celebrities do you
Ozzy
have?
Ozzy Osbourne, really they inducted also.
That was strange.
That was a weird one to me. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just because he's played the entrance themes a few times.
I think at this point, they need a celebrity each year. So one day we'll see Snooki inducted. Mm-hmm. Probably Snooki was...
At least Snooki had a match. I'd be kind of okay with that.
She's undefeated.
Yes, she's undefeated at WrestleMania.
I guess William Shatner, monkey flipped Jerry the King Lawler in 1995.
What?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Well, is Pete Rose in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. He hasn't been removed or banned.
He's not in the baseball.
Baseball of Fame, no.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, their Hall of Fame is becoming oh my gosh. It's not a joke yet. And one day they'll have like an actual building, I'm sure, that we could all, the three of us, go visit.
Just see the William Shatner statue.
Exactly. Go pose with the Shatner statue.
I think they do. They have plans in Florida for.
Oh, they do. Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah.
I think I hope it's like the wax museum. That would be a lot of fun.
Well, if they have the Fiend in there, then count me out. I'm not going in.
No.
One day he'll be in there in the Hall of Fame. But
it's just a made up list of people who haven't pissed off Vince. That's all it really is, to be quite honest.
It's a pretty short list though.
Yeah.
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 All right, that's it. Those were our highlights of the week and our WrestleMania highlights. Again, all of our highlights are in our show notes in a very convenient playlist there for you. Feel free to watch along, follow along with us. But that's all we got for you. That's all we got. We tried. They didn't give us much this week, to be quite honest. They didn't give us
definitely not
at all. But it's time for us to say bye to the big boss man himself. Rob, thank you so much for coming on and just chilling with us.
Yeah, well, this was really fun to, you know, be able to like check back in with everything that was going on. You know, I listened to a lot of episodes of the podcast, so I kind of had like some familiarity with what was going on, but it was nice to see it with my own eyes. And like, you know, I have been like tantalized with the idea of like starting to show this stuff to my kid. I just not 100% sure if it's a great idea. What's the right age to start showing kids wrestling?
Oh, don't ask me. My 2-year-old watches it. He full on watches it. And
all right, so let me direct this to Matt.
Drops elbows.
Yeah.
What's the right age? Look, Rob, I think the more that you can help your kids avoid wrestling, like maybe wait until they're
In fairness, teens. Like I show my kids Survivor and Big Brother. And then, you know, it's a little bit sort of like, you know, for us, like that's kind of like the family business. And so, but I don't necessarily want to be like a Vince or a Ric Flair, or it's like, I definitely like don't want to pressure my kids to feel like, hey, like, you know, you're being raised to like follow in, you know, dad's footsteps and go into like, this is what, you know, you're going to go on to do. Like, I feel like that I have failed as a parent
if my kids end up like going into reality TV right. when they want to. Yeah, like, that's not what they should aspire to do.
That's
but
funny.
They should aspire to be pro wrestlers. Yeah. I could see Anthony taking on pro wrestling. The way that he pushes Nicole, you around.
Like, I really feel like that this would have been a calling for her, that she I'm surprised that she never really wanted to pay more attention to it.
I would pay a lot of money, Rob. A lot of money. We'll talk negotiations later. But, I would love to see you and Nicole backstage with Ryan Popola. You know, maybe we end up with a tag team match.
Mm-hmm. Nicole maybe I could be her manager. Like, yeah. I feel like,
maybe that's it.
I'm going to ask her if she ever thought of it. I feel like at one point, maybe she used to watch Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah. Tough Enough was so good.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Nicole about wrestling. She would love women's wrestling right
she
now.
She really
women's
would.
Women's wrestling is
very,
so good.
She would
good
be very
right
excited
now.
About it. Because she wants the box, but she doesn't want to get hit in the face.
This is for her.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, wrestling is the best. Just so.
Like, she's practicing her, like, fighting all day long, but she doesn't want to get, like, really punched in the face.
Yes. I think the best way to start it off is, like, most kids have access to YouTube. We sent you a whole bunch of YouTube clips. You just send them. You just have your boys and Nicole watch some really nice women's wrestling clips. I can always send those for you.
You really have to, I think, pick and choose, and also make sure that it's from, like, definitely after 2015.
Sure,
2015.
Sure. Maybe I'll put on Sasha versus Bianca for Nicole and see what she
says. Oh, yes. I would love to hear what Nicole has to say about that. Yes. But that's all it is. It's just introducing. Don't show them any of the Fiend stuff because you want them to go to sleep at night. You know, WWE is notoriously family friendly. That's why a lot of people don't like it. A lot of wrestling fans don't really like it. But. Yeah. It's something for everybody. It really is. It's something for everybody. It sounds weird saying this, but what are you up to, Rob?
Are you on anything? Shows?
This is a super busy week for the podcasting because we're doing, of course, the Survivor Countdown, but then also The Circle came back this week. So I've been binging the Circle to do a roundtable today. Then also, like, I've been falling behind on my Big Brother Canada. So I've been trying to catch up on all of the Big Brother Canada stuff. So we still have then 90 Day Fiance finale coming up on Monday. And then we closed out Tough as Nails. So it's been a busy, busy week. And then also on Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast, we're we're calling it the podcast power hour, where we're listening to 12 different podcasts this week.
Oh,
to give you a review of what's happening on a bunch of different podcasts.
Yeah, how's that going, Rob? Have you decided? I saw a tweet from Akiva.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch on or listen on 3x speed?
I think I can do it between today and tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh my god!
And then I start Survivor Samoa.
So who? But so which podcast? Like who?
He got like a list of different ones, just like a lot of entertainment podcasts.
I have some suggestions if you guys need some
wrestling or
I think, I think he's got the list locked.
Always
be the wrestling rehab.
Yes.
So where can people find you, Rob?
Of course, you could find me on Twitter and Clubhouse. I haven't been clubhousing as much at Rob Sestrino. And then of course you could find everything we're doing over at robiswebsite.com.
All right. Yes. Thank you so much again, Rob. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for giving us this platform. should I say thank you for letting us go down this journey? We have reached our destination.
Yeah.
Well,
let me say that. Thank you both for doing such a great job. You two had a vision and executed on it, and it's been incredible work that you've both done. And I have been in awe of just how professional you two have both been, and just what a great job you've done with this podcast, where you had such a strong vision and then executed on it.
Yeah, well, we're just happy to be here. We were talking about it a lot on Purple Pants podcast, but we're happy to have a platform to use it for not just talking about the shenanigans in the wrestling world, but also some really important issues and like flipping the switch from the really serious to the really goofy and back. And so thanks for giving us that space, Rob.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Job well done. I appreciate you saying that.
Yes. And we are just, while we have you on here, we're just going to let all the listeners know we will be taking a hiatus. This will be the last wrestling we're half up. We'll see when we'll let you know when we come back. You can always follow us for any updates. You can follow us at the wrestling, at Wrestling We're Half Up on Twitter. You can follow me at Mari Talks Too Much on Twitter. That's two, like the number two. Matt
Scott GW on Twitter, other places. And you could also find me in the RHAP patrons group.
Yep.
You could find me also in the Job Has a Squadcast group. And yeah, we're just around. Hit us up and email us wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Lots of ways you could find us.
And also let's just we're talking about what season two is going to look like. That you both like want to take a break. This wasn't like we want to put you on the shelf.
No, it was
no. No, you fired us.
No.
Our rumors. Vince McMahon.
Our rumors. Yeah. No. Mari, your husband asked me to release you.
No. That actually probably happened. No. Yes. Yes. We've done the journey. WrestleMania is over. We're going to take a break. I need a break. I can't talk for Matt, but I personally
need a break. No, let's go. Let's keep going. I could use a break.
Being a full-time podcaster is such a great, it's such a great thing to do. It's such a different journey. And it's something that I hope to be able to do for a long time. But I also feel like sometimes you have to step back and you got to take some time, because I personally have a family. So I got to just make sure that they're good and situated before I can really just really, really jump headfirst into this. And I think this is just a logical stopping point as well, because we set out, this was our vision. Like Rob said, our initial vision was to do a podcast where it was a road to WrestleMania. We let the casual audience, feed into it, bring you guys up to speed with what's going on, introduce you to the world of wrestling, have WrestleMania, and then see what happens, create our own little space. And I'm really glad we got to do that. And as long as Rob lets us come back for a season two, I'll be back. Just keep follow us for news.
And leave us reviews. Just let us know that you appreciate us. We always love to see that. And we're excited for what's reviews and ideas are really what we would love to hear thinking about season two. But everything that Mari said, I'm on board with it. And just happy that we could be here. And next time we'll have to actually create your Rehapsler, Rob. I have some ideas.
Right.
I see it.
Yeah.
There's the vision.
Yeah. And then also, the big thing that's coming up in wrestling in the fall is the Renap Royal Rumble 3.
Look, if I had one goal coming into this podcast, is to end up as the winner of the Royal Rumble. So look, I'm here. Let's go. I'll take out Akiva. I'll take out Ali Lasher. Who do I need to throw out?
Yeah. Okay. We'll see if you could ever top me throwing Chester out of the ring and just I don't even know what
gorilla press. I think I could top Clarence throwing himself out of the ring. So
that was an all-time moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, thank you both for having me. It really means a lot to me that you wanted me to come on and talk with you about the wrestling, even though I have mostly no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, we loved having you. And again, we got to have you. This was just a bad week.
Not for me.
It was just, I wish we had way more content for you to watch and be excited about, but I knew it. I was like, oh, this is going to be, it's either hit or miss. It's always either hit or miss directly after such a big pay-per-view. So, yes, we can't wait till we get a do-over, a doozy. So, Thank you for coming. All right, so let's get into our shoot segment. The shoot is a unplanned, unscripted, anything that's happened in the wrestling world this week that we just want to talk about. And this is a big week. Again, you have WrestleMania. You have, like, WrestleMania is the end of one season, and it, like, ushers in the new season. There's always sweeping changes after WrestleMania. So let's just talk about the first sweeping change. It was announced that NXT will be moving from its Wednesday night spot to Tuesday night, and which effectively ends the quote unquote Wednesday night wars, where both NXT, WWE NXT and AEW were both coming on Wednesdays from 8 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. And so it's over, and I'm happy about it. And hopefully this means we can stop. We can really, really stop. Can we just stop pitting these companies against each other? Like, we don't talk about NXT as much. You know, I keep up with it as much as I can. But these last few weeks, we've been really busy and getting in the thick of, like, that WrestleMania buildup. We just hadn't had a chance to follow NXT, and AEW is the same. I still watch both of them. Just don't have time to talk about it because our podcast cannot be 5 hours long. So that's a little inside tea, you know.
It will be 5 hours long one day. So when we have Akiva and Ali Lasher on, right. We will hit that 5 hour mark, but we have to wait for them. And, you know, to your point, like, I think one of the issues, and we see this probably in a ton of different ways in wrestling, but with this example of the Wednesday night wars, the reality is, the Monday Night Wars were such a unique thing in wrestling history, and nothing will be the Monday Night Wars. I mean, maybe one day we will see something to that effect, but it was like such a perfect storm of a lot of things. There were like 5 million people watching each of the shows at one point. It was like, it was wild. I mean, maybe there were people flipping back and forth, so I don't understand the Nielsen ratings fully, but it was a lot of people, and it was a different time. And people spent more time in front of their TVs, and there wasn't YouTube where you could just go watch it all after the fact. And the way that we consume is so much different. The way that WWE wants us to consume is so much different than what it was then. So, I mean, like TNA, I think in 2010, I want to say, like, they had a Monday Night War with WWE on.
Wasn't it SmackDown?
They did a Raw on, to get specific, January 4th, 2010. Wow.
You did your homework.
No. I didn't do homework. It's such like a vivid moment because Hulk Hogan showed up in TNA. All of these like ex-WWE stars showed up and debuted that day. It was actually kind of a mess and the start of a dark era for TNA where Hulk Hogan was really involved, even though he's like 80. And, you know, like, we're not going to get that war. WWE has that same position. And honestly, competition isn't bad for WWE. That's not what I'm saying. And it's not bad for wrestling, but it's just not a war. We saw Chris Jericho. Well, I actually haven't watched it, but people saw Chris Jericho on the Steve Austin podcast on the Broken Skull Sessions, I should say. More specifically, and like, we don't need to be fighting each other. We don't need heat and we don't need smoke. And that's what I'll say on that. But how are you feeling about where things go moving forward? Because there are only so many nights in a week. Like, do you think we're going to see a Friday night war soon? Maybe we'll see a Tuesday night war. Maybe it'll be a Monday night war.
I don't know. Like, I'm just glad. I'm hoping this move puts an end to all of this, but they've already been posting the ratings for AEW this past Wednesday, the first Wednesday that it's been unencumbered. They did 1.2 million or whatever. People are already.
It was their second highest.
Yeah, they're already still doing it. So it's at this point to me, it's whatever. I consume them both. I consume them both at a later time because I have a DVR and I fast forward through stuff. So mm-hmm. it just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't understand the fans who hang onto these ratings like they get paid to do it. Like, no offense to any of the listeners, but I just don't understand it. I'm just glad that it's over. I'm glad that if I want to, I can watch Raw, then NXT, then AEW. Maybe take a break and then watch, you know, SmackDown. I like that. I much rather that than, you know, being behind on. Sometimes when I get caught up on it, AEW, I get behind on NXT, stuff like that. So I'm just glad it moved. But technically, you know, Impact is on Tuesdays. Impact is on Tuesdays on Twitch.
Sorry. Is it?
Yeah, so I don't know. Like you said, there's so many days in the week. I'm just glad. I think this is only what's best for wrestling fans because you said it amazing. Like, this is not like Monday night. This isn't when everybody and their mama watch wrestling. Wrestling is fighting over the same 2 to 3 million fans. Let's be real, guys. We're fighting over the same fans. So this is only good for the fans that these shows are moved to the different days. Like,
but to that point, I think, you know, and I can relate to this fight over the fans. I was, well, number one, going to say, I don't think it doesn't need to be a fight over the fans, but it's kind of just been this dynamic of I'm a WCW person. I'm a WWF person. I'm an ECW person, and such brand loyalty there when, like, I get it. There's so much content that you do have to choose. But at the same time, when it comes to WWE, you could choose to watch Raw and SmackDown and maybe not watch NXT, NXT UK, 205, like all of that stuff. With AEW, you could choose to watch Dynamite and not watch Dark and all of the other programming they're putting out there. With Impact, you could choose to watch. And, and by the way, I will say I've heard great things about Impact's product. Yeah. And so no shade there, but you know, there's only so many hours in the week, and you know what we've been watching because you've been hearing us talk about it.
Yeah. So I'm just glad. I'm glad. Hopefully the Stan Wars, the fan wars will die down. Hopefully both brands will get their just due. We can get eyes on both brands. I'm here for it. Again, that frees up my DVR, you know, to now move something up for Tuesday. So this is great. I like this. I'm glad that it seems that while the fans are out here yelling at each other, the companies themselves just don't really care. I think, I mean, well, other than Jericho being the demo god and all of that.
Look, and here's the thing. Let me just give like another perspective on it, which is that the more wrestling, the better. The more wrestling content, the better. So I don't know, Mari, would you say that there's like 10 hours, maybe 12 hours of wrestling each week that's on national TV at least, right? So 12 hours a week. Well, the more that we get, the more people get exposed to wrestling. And sure, it might not all have great ratings, but you know, part of why I think we see people like Logan Paul pop up in WWE and even Bad Bunny is to draw in more people. We need more people to be having those water cooler conversations when we're actually in person again at water coolers about wrestling. So let's do what we can to support all the wrestling that's out there rather than tear down the other person and what they're doing. And we get it. We're not positive on everything, but we want it to exist. We do not want these companies to go out of business. And I'm sure that comes across perfectly clear. So
exactly. So yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad it's all done. And NXT wasn't run off Wednesday nights. It's because NBC closed their NBC Sports. They closed down NBC Sports or something like that. So now like hockey or something has to go onto the USA Network and hockey's on Wednesday, something like that. They basically got pushed because a live sporting event needs to be on USA Network on Wednesday. So like, let's stop with the whole AEW ran NXT off the night. It it's literally all business, guys. All of this is business decision.
Yeah. You know? And we don't even need to come for hockey. Like, it's cool. Let's just be supportive. Let's invite people in. Let's not be like, you know, trolls with our Apollo Crews style. Well, I guess this wouldn't be trolls, but let's not be trolls and let's not have spears and threaten other people. Let's welcome them in. Let's embrace them. And that's what we're about. Sending a message of love as we wrap up the season. But, you know, there's so much we could say about this war. There's a bigger topic that I know that we need to dive in and talk about. And
so,
well, you know, there's a lot to say.
The bigger topic is WWE just did their yearly round of cuts. Like every year, normally around this time, they start to cut their talent. And last year was especially devastating because they cut talent in the middle of a pandemic.
A lot of that was people being even temporarily furloughed. I know when I'm thinking of that, I'm thinking of producers that were temporarily furloughed. And it made sense that people were released. This year, though, I will point out with all of the people that were cut there. Well, there's a lot that we'll talk about here. But one thing to note is that 2020 was an insanely profitable year for WWE, especially without the live events and the touring and all of those expenses. I think that's really how that worked out. And yet they still had their budget cuts. Yeah. And they cut a lot of names that I know. Yeah. Some, you know, some we get, but others, it's not, you know, we didn't need to see them go. It's sad.
Right. Shout out to Wes on Twitter who made sure we saw this. Shout out to Force of Wit on Twitter. Anybody who reached out to us.
Shout out to the wrestling world on Twitter, because this was obviously a huge story, especially as the names kind of piled up over the course of a couple of days.
Yeah, so the list of talent who have been released, at least in the past 2 days that we know of, is Billy Kay, Mickie James, Chelsea Green, Tucker,
Kalisto,
Wesley Blake, Samoa Joe, Bo Dallas, Peyton Royce, and Mojo Rawley. So let me just get into, I'll tell you some of my key points to take away from this list, and then you give me some of yours. But then I think we'll save the big guy for the end, if you know what I'm talking about.
The big guy?
Yeah, the big guy that's on here. The big name.
Well, I was going to say, look, let me just start us out with this for a second by, you know, there, like, some of these names make a little bit of sense. Mickie James, I hope, you know, she's phenomenal, but I feel like if I'm in Mickie James' shoes, I'm just happy to be there. She was gone for a while, came back, and she's insanely talented, but also she wasn't being used a lot. I think she was in the Royal Rumble, and we haven't seen her around a ton. She was actually out and then came back, faced Asuka, and then I think was out again last fall or something like that. So Mickie makes sense, but I just want to put it out there. The Iconics, my Australian tag team championship team, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. I'm like, I might be most broken up that they're, well, one, that they were broken up, but that they're gone. I don't get it. They're together, especially, they're insanely talented. Billy Kay is full of charisma, and she's gone.
Yeah, and it even kind of pisses me off, like, even more that Billy Kay and Carmella pin Naomi and Lana just for Billy Kay to be tossed in the middle of the feud.
Oh my God. Look, this isn't a video podcast right now, but if people could see my face, it's just like, I don't get it. Like, we have Billy Kay and then there's Peyton, and I just don't really understand the, I don't get it. They didn't know what to expect.
So
even at Mania,
there's a few allegedly stories behind on this list. So Mickie James allegedly released, possibly asked for her release because allegedly Bruce Pritchard from WWE is not a fan of her husband, and he is currently the head of creative for at least SmackDown. So a lot of whispers that Mickie James is held down because of the animosity that she had with the producer backstage, allegedly. Chelsea Green, more than likely let go because she's had several injuries that have kept her off the main roster. Mm. She's been signed to the main roster for like 2-3 years, but she's never wrestled more than a few months because she just unfortunately kept getting injured. She got injured on her Raw debut. She broke her wrist. So last year, a little bit like mid last year, Tucker was hanging on by a thread in NXT. He had been in NXT for a few years and he was almost on his way out until they found, they put him with Otis. And so him and Otis did a great job in NXT. They were brought up to the main roster a little bit too early. And the moment that they were broken up, Otis, and they tapped Otis as the one to go to, I was not surprised that Tucker was going to be released. Unfortunately, I do feel bad for him, but he has been in developmental hell for a long time.
No, I mean, Otis is, just to jump in there too, like Otis was definitely the star in stand-up and has a lot of charisma. And I'm not even particularly a fan, but he grew on me over time. Yeah. And I think one of the problems is when, like, one, you bring someone up who maybe, you know, doesn't shine as much as the other stars. And I feel like that's the case with Tucky, where maybe Tucky, where he could have used more of that seasoning or something.
Well,
the personality wasn't there.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like Tucker had at least two other tag teammates before they found Otis. Like he is really, it's kind of like D'Angelo Dawkins. I don't know if you heard the Street Profits story, but D'Angelo Dawkins he's been in developmental as long as like some of the New Day, and he just could not get over. They couldn't find him a partner until they finally put him with Montez. And that's exactly what happened with Tucker and Otis. Tucker had went through a few partners, never got over, finally put with Otis, got over, and he just doesn't pop when he's by himself. So it's very unfortunate. Kalisto being gone, now that really sucks. I really like Kalisto. I love that Kalisto's best friends with Sasha, so I do feel bad for Sasha for that. Yeah. Kalisto, I feel like he was right there, but WWE just does not do really well with international stars. Like, we've seen that. So that really sucks. I hope he bounces back.
But you know what? Not everyone could be on the roster too. I think he could be the WWE. If they're not using you, and I think this goes for like everyone here with one exception of someone who was very much being used, but like if they're not using you properly, you could do better, especially in a post-pandemic world. And I'm excited for all the opportunities for Kalisto and others here.
And that's the thing. It just depends on what you want out of your wrestling life, out of your wrestling career. Mickie James, I think it was her who said on Twitter, she's lucky to be out of these golden handcuffs. It was either her or Chelsea Green. I can't really remember. But if you want to get paid and you want the money and you're willing to sit in catering, some people don't mind. Other people want the championship. So you just never know. Wesley Blake, one half of Blake and Murphy. Same type of deal. It's crazy that they have these similar backstories. He also couldn't, he also needed to find a partner in NXT, put him with Murphy, and they were solid in NXT. They broke up in NXT. Murphy went to the main roster to do big things, and Blake stayed in NXT. He was a part of the Forgotten Sons. When Jackson Riker said some very weird things, the Forgotten Sons got disbanded. And it's just a lot of this that's kind of seen it coming. They just couldn't do anything. Bo Dallas, I have no idea why Bo Dallas is on this list. Like, I love Bo Dallas, and I don't know why he's on this list. I don't know what he's been up to. I don't know why he hasn't been on our TV screens. Bo Dallas has everything. I just don't know why I don't know why he's on this list. Mojo Rawley, again, Mojo, I've never connected with him, even though he's from my state. He was very green in NXT. And I think he's still a little green, but all of these people can definitely find more places to go. That's the great thing, like you said, about wrestling right now. There's so many companies that any of these people can show up to. I personally would want to see the Iconics go to Impact, because they have a women's tag team division there. And it would kind of be cool to see them against Tasha Steelz and Kiera Hogan. And then that'd be kind of cool. But the thing that I think the person they dropped the ball on the most has to be Samoa Joe. Like, Samoa Joe, unfortunately, he's same boat. He's been injured a lot since being on the main roster. But how do you let Samoa Joe go and not be worried? Because I'm going to tell you now, if Joe goes to AEW, I'm going to consistently watch AEW. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is a needle mover for whoever picks him up. Maybe he goes to New Japan. That'd be amazing. Like, out of all these people on the list, Mickie James, too. I think Mickie James is a needle mover as well. She's proven that. She's been on the indies before. But they're needle movers. And WWE has to be scared.
No. No. I disagree with that last point, though. About WWE has so much talent. They could... I bet WWE could... You know, Vince McMahon could sit with a printed out list of everyone on the roster. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like 15 pages, and then just tear off 3 pages and throw them out without looking who's on it. And they would be fine just because of like all the star power. So
they do, yeah.
I mean, one reason I feel bad in the sense that these are like these people's livelihoods, but
yeah,
I don't see a world where WWE is using Samoa Joe to the best of his ability. And the good news is you can really make a career outside of WWE.
Yes.
I mean, look at Twitch alone, where WWE stripped that away from their performers, where most of them were no longer allowed to go on Twitch or to have Twitch accounts or Cameo. Like, if you're Mickie James, you could definitely make a career just out of being on Twitch, just out of Cameo. I'm sure she wants to do a lot more than that. But all to say, I feel like most of these people are better positioned than where they were with WWE. Financially, you know, maybe not, but you know, from the creative perspective, they definitely are in a better place. So, but I'm with you on Samoa Joe being a needle mover when he's healthy and able to compete. And I imagine that will come again. I'm not sure what's been happening with his health, that, you know, that's unfortunate, but
very much so.
I think that we'll see him back in the ring again, and maybe we'll see him back in WWE again. By the way, I'm not sure about this, but he was released. I don't know. I have to probably do more research, but I'm not clear on if
they
he was completely released, like talent contract. And
no, and I'm just saying from what he was saying on Twitter, what he was alluding to on Twitter, he has to sit out his 90 days and then it's go time.
Okay.
But
so he's
WWE has done it before where they release somebody and they bring them right back.
Yeah.
You know, so you never know. You never know. At all.
Joe could go have a great run, though. He's actually someone who I could imagine being like the most likely to return out of this list of people, because he's obviously someone they really like and trust. He has charisma in a way that I don't think people would have thought that Joe did, but he was on commentary and people heard from him. And I'm sure that the office likes him. So let's go see him have a run with Impact, with AEW in Japan, like you were saying, and then come back. I would love to see him back if WWE could figure out what to do with him. And they've kind of like scratched the surface before with him, but Joe deserves better. And I think, maybe this is a great time in his career to be somewhere else, especially while, you know, again, hopefully he's healthy and able to compete at the best level he can.
Right. All right, that's all we have for the shoot. We just wanted to talk about some of those talent releases. And like Matt said, it sucks. Nobody likes watching people lose their jobs. Like, no. Really don't. So hopefully, we hope all of these wrestlers bounce back wherever they go. I would love to keep in touch with what they're doing, since there's just so many opportunities for wrestlers out there now, which is so great. It's great that WWE is not the end all be all anymore. So we'll be keeping an eye out. Please let us know if you see any of these wrestlers out there. So Matt, this was great. This was a perfect season finale. This has been a great journey with you. It's been a great journey with a lot of our listeners, our patrons, getting to know all of our patrons and their thoughts about wrestling. Any takeaways from the last 3 months?
Yeah. It's that wrestling can be really fun, and it is fun, but it's also easy to get tied up in it and not have fun with it sometimes. Right. And then there are also these very real things that happen, like releases, but also like a lot of the, not to like overstate the importance of our commentary, but like the social issues that we'll dive into and cover. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about all sorts of stuff. We've talked about colorism before, racism, sexism, sexual assault. We've talked about being fired. God. We've talked about, I don't know what, I was just going to start naming issues. Probably homelessness. We definitely have talked. We've talked about everything. We've talked about everything. Mental health, we've talked about to an extent. So representation matters. We're so thankful that we have this representation in this space. And really, we do thank Rob. You know, you heard us thank Rob a little bit, but we probably like literally need to get him a bouquet of flowers or something.
Edible arrangement.
We'll get Rob an edible arrangement to thank him, especially as we plan for season two.
Season two. We'll be back. We'll see.
Let us know, though, that you want us back. Yes, you never know. You never know. Like,
what'll get us back faster is if you blow up Rob's inbox. Rob at robhasawebsite.com.
Oh, no.
He's going to be so mad.
Don't do, you can't do that. Don't do
tell
that.
Tell him
no.
You want wrestling half of.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But the other thing that you should do, the bigger thing you could do is that you could leave a review on the podcast feed. Give us 5 stars. Even more, share this with a friend or with a few friends. Like if you have some friends who you think would love to get back into wrestling or love to get into wrestling. I mean, I at least would recommend that they start with episode one. We have the clips in the show notes. They don't even need to find a place to go back and watch. So what are you waiting for? Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Show us some love, though. Yeah. Show us some love and let us know what ideas you have for season two.
Yes,
I don't know why I'm saying it like that.
We would love to hear some ideas, maybe some new segments, something like that. We would love to hear from all of the listeners.
Guest
ideas. Oh, yes. Matt did a great job of on his IG takeover asking you guys who you would want to hear on the podcast. Let us know, because now that we're like up and running, we might be able to get some of your favorite RHAP podcasters. We have, but I mean like you, okay, all right. I just I
look,
thank
Mari,
that. Thanks
no,
that.
No, we're shutting it down. But we might be able to get everyone's favorite Nicole Sesternino on the podcast. And I'm with you. There are some people who I'm sure do not watch wrestling, who do not care about it, but absolutely let us know on Twitter, especially who you'd love to see on the podcast, and tag them and like let them know that we exist.
And again, you can follow me at Twitter, on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, to like the number 2. I'm also there on Stereo. Follow me on Stereo just in case I feel like talking to somebody about something randomly. You'll get a little notification that says Mari's talking on Stereo. And Matt, where can the people find you? Not just your plugs, but what are you going to be up to podcasting wise while we're on this yachtus?
Let me give them some things. So number one, at Matt Scotchy W, you never know if I, like Mari, if I decide to go wild and just get on Stereo, you could find me there. You could find me Twitter, especially, but I'm Matt Scotchy W on all of the platforms. I will also mention in the immediate future that actually next week I will be on the Circle recap, one of the recaps with Taryn, to cover things, to let people know the deal and the download, the 411 on what's happening with the Circle. It's been fun to start to watch that and actually watch something other than wrestling, because I have like very intentionally not watch BB Can 9 and a bunch of other shows. And you could also find me otherwise. Well, I talk about all this stuff on Twitter, but I have a thing called Let's Care. It's a podcast that, you know, infrequently I'll update, but it features changemaker conversations and my interviews with them. And it's kind of like the Taryn Show without it being the Taryn Show, in the sense that just sitting down, long form interviews and that type of thing. So that's where I'll be. Mm-hmm. But Mari, where will you be over this hiatus?
So, of course, you can find me doing BB Can coverage, maybe even this week. I will also be doing, I know, shocking. I will also be doing some Circle coverage as well.
Yes, Mari on the Circle. Let's go. Yeah. Where else?
On the Circle coverage, because it's such a great. Yes. But because it's been it's a great season so far. So I shamelessly begged to be on the Circle. I didn't care. I was like, I need to be on one of these podcasts because it's a great season. And then of course you'll find me. I'll be around. You know, I watch everything. If anybody asks me to be on, I'll definitely be on. So, I still plan to be busy podcasting during this hiatus. You know, I just won't be doing the weekly wrap up. This is not a goodbye. It's a see you later.
Right, I feel like we need to, as we go.
Okay, no. 30
we
seconds.
Remember.
Like, oh my God, royalties.
Oh, but no.
You're about to get us really canceled.
You think that,
they're going to sue RJP for the rights.
What's if that happens, honestly, well, I guess this is the last time you're hearing us, but we tried it. Shout out to Vitamin C.
Right.
To graduation. Let's go. Season 2. And by the way, you know, you will probably see Mari and I pop up and do some special edition podcasting here and there. You might even see us podcasting about other things, maybe together. Who knows? We don't know. But, you know, you never know. And that's the exciting thing about RHAP. So keep a lookout.
It's really important. Sign up for the Patreon. Get access to our patron Discord, because we might be hosting some events over there. Follow us on Stereo. Follow us on Twitter. That way you'll know everything we'll be doing when we decide to just maybe pop in, say hi, and pop back out during the hiatus.
There we go.
So other than that, for one last time this season...
Go ahead.
Watch out for any flying elbows, and we will see you guys. Bye-bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.